When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A show called The Best Show. A show called The Best Show. Best Show. Every Tuesday, we're gonna take you to Laugh Town. Best Show, every Tuesday, everybody gather round. Best Show, every Tuesday, time to listen to the show. Best Show, every Tuesday, everybody get ready to laugh. Best Show. Two, oh, one, three, two, three, four, eight, four is the number to call The Best Show. 201-322-6884. Yeah, Best Show is back. It's The Best Show. What's up, everybody? How are you tonight? My name is Tom. I'm the host of The Best Show, and I'm back, and I'm happy to be back here on a hot August night, as Neil Diamond once said. In the year 2018, what's up, everyone? The number 201-3-323-484, and the topic tonight is a simple one and one you should all be excited about and all be able to participate in. It's celebrity encounters. What celebrity encounters have you had over the years? What are the good ones? What are the bad ones? Now's the time to call in and be a part of the show. And we've got more than that planned. So many fun things lined up. Get ready to have a grand time. Mike, you ready? Mike's good. So sit back, crack open a collectible Kirkland Light, and enjoy episode 4,946 of The Best Show. Right. Here we go. It's the best show. What's up, everybody? How are you here on an August night? I'm good. It's 2018. What's going on? My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the best show. And boy, we got a good show for you tonight. First of all, let me say thank you to the everybody who made last week's show happen. I was out of town. Jason, Pat, Mike, Kristen, everybody who pulled it off, I appreciate it for keeping the show going. I got to Skype in for a bit, and I appreciate them making it happen. But I'm here now, and Dudio's not here. He's on assignment.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
He will be back soon. Next week, right? Pat? Next week. Yes. The phone number, 201-332-3484. And what did we hear? We heard Wand. This is a great album. New album by Wand. Perfume is the name of the album. And we heard a song called Team Meeting. And this is on Drag City. Can't knock Drag City, man. I know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I tell you, you put this and you put that Kate Le Bon record, and it's and the other one they had, the one that she did with the fella from the other thing. What was that record called? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. No, it's going to bother me all night. Hold on. I got to look it up now. I'm sorry. It's just how I am. It is a record called...
Oh, what is it? Why won't you people tell me?
It's Kate Le Bon. The other fella, right? Come on. Oh, boy. I'll sit here all night. Drinks is what the name of the record. Drinks. That was a great record. A lot of great records on Drag City this year. DragCity.com. Can't go wrong. So, where are we at? I was away for 2 weeks. Now I'm back. And I'm happy to be back. I miss it. This show is a constant. Big part of my weekly existence, and a part of my monthly and yearly existence too. It is as much in my DNA at this point as anything else, and I love it. This is the thing that will be when I'm gone, Mike. And look, I hope I'm here for another 100 years, right? Well, not 100. That'd be bad news. I ain't looking to check out anytime soon. That's all I'm saying. Hopefully things go my way on this one. But when they're chiseling my... Well, they won't be chiseling at that point. It'll probably be a... The tombstone will be a video screen, right? When they're setting up my eye stone. You know what it'll say on it? Best show, baby. What's that now, Mike? They'll say best show for life. Not anymore.
No.
But this is the thing I do, this show. This show is the thing. And I'm happy with that. I love it. I hear these other podcasts, man, I tell you. I hear some of these other things. I know these people. They're coming on hot with their thing. And God bless them, but they ain't going to be around for this time next year. I know what the score is. I get everybody is sending me things. You hear Jake Taffer's podcast? The bum from Bar Rescue? It's a podcast. Got people, everybody's telling me. I already talked about it on the air. Thanks for listening, first of all. We talked about it for 20 minutes on the air. I love the show. I love it so much. Yeah, I haven't listened in 4 years. Are you still doing it? Remember that time that guy was said to me a couple years ago? Oh, I love the show so much. I love it so much. Do you miss it? Yeah, well, I did miss it. That's why I went out of pocket, built a studio, bring it back. It's been back for 2.5 years.
It has?
Yeah, it has. Been back for a while.
Do you miss it?
I could have crawled under a rock. Two of the low points. That and going to that haunted house in Philly, the haunted prison with Hayes Davenport from Hollywood Handbook. Which, by the way, I will be doing that Hollywood Handbook show live this Sunday at the Bell House. Usually they don't announce the guests, but this time they did. Guess they wanted to pack the place out, huh? What's that? Oh, yeah, no, don't worry. They didn't take advertising out, Mike. This is not the Onion Comedy Festival where I've been doing this stuff for decades now, and they still put me I Love the Mountain Goats podcast 4 episodes in, is in a font twice as big as my font. And it's, look, I love the Mountain Goats too. They've been doing the show for a month. You put their font is I had to turn my neck to read the whole thing. I had to get a magnifying glass to see my name on that ad. Yeah, no, it's not that. But yeah, I'll be doing the Hollywood Handbook at the Bell House. I think it might even be sold out already. I don't know. Me and Julie Klausner. And the early show, I believe, is Joe Firestone. That's a hot hot night at the Bell House. Hot comedy night. Hot night for laughs. You know what it's not a hot night for? The Bell House for charity. Hollywood Handbook. Not a charitable show. Still sitting on that old goose egg when it comes to donations. Not charitable. Very generous when it comes to laughs, providing laughs. When it comes to providing cash, Mike, not so much. Very conservative. No, not a whole lot of, yeah. They are fiscally conservative and comedically liberal. Hollywood Handbook. No problem bringing the laughs, an abundance of laughs. Suddenly comes time for charity. Short arms and deep pockets. Suddenly you'd think a T-Rex was running things. Little T-Rex arms, can't reach a wallet. But look, to each his own. Best show, we try to give money every few weeks to different charities. Other shows go years without giving a cent. That's fine. I'm not saying one's right or wrong. Right? I'm not putting a judgment on that. Yeah, judge. Look, you might think being the show that regularly writes checks to charity, that's the wrong thing. That's on my place to say. But I will be appearing on that show. And they still have not, even though I did a pro version of Hollywood Handbook, which is a for-profit venture. No compensation for that. I told them to give it to a charity. Never heard a peep since. It's weird, Mike. It's weird. But that's neither here nor there. That's the way they run their thing, and I run my thing my own way here. So, yeah, so how'd I get down this road? Brother. I don't know what I was talking about. So, did you order food? Not yet. What are you waiting for the avoid the whammy? What are you doing out there? Yeah, what is it? Press your luck? You waiting? You biding your time? This is not a, you know, unless you're going to Aubon Pan, it don't get no cheaper the later you go. There used to be an Aubon Pan. The best show used to be on a radio station. You remember that, Mike? WFMU. The old days, let's say. And I'm not saying they were the bad old days. I like these days. As Natalie Merchant said, Mike, these are the days. So, Aubon Pan does a thing where they close at 8 o'clock. And the last hour, the pastries are half price. Any pastries left are half price. And I'd be in there. And I'm telling you, you'd see people at 6:58, they got a empty box ready to start shoveling these pastries in. They're like waiting, they got their hand has a piece of the bakery paper in it. They got an open bag or box. But they can't start loading it in yet. They gotta wait for 7 o'clock. Half price. But all I guess I'm saying is, get what you want, guys. Go nuts. Have a grand old time. I know, Mike, you're partial to a fine porterhouse, right? You want to get a nice juicy steak tonight, Mike? Right? That'd be great. You'd be up all night clutching your stomach. Sure that this is it. Why'd I eat a huge steak? Wait to see the efficiency of those calls coming through. Be people slipping through left and right. Best show. Who's good here, Mike? Line one. So anyway, the topic tonight: celebrity encounters. I should say. Celebrity encounters. Almost all of us have had them, right? You run into a person at an event or something, or you see them on the street. I was just in Los Angeles. I had my own little celebrity encounter. Look, I was there for a few days. If I'm friends with you and I didn't let you know I was there, I only had a few days there. I couldn't make everything happen at this point. I have so many friends in LA. I can't. I wish I could see everybody on every trip. I almost have to like to take turns, because I can't just be doing it. You know what do you want to be a receiving line where I'm just shaking your hand and moving on? No, and I'm out there for work. I'll be back. I'll be back, and I'll see you next time, my friends. It's a flattering, and I miss you. I miss you, my friends. So a few months ago, earlier this year, I directed a commercial, right? That's right. I'll do that from if the work comes my way. I'll do it. I love it. So I did a basketball commercial, right? With Kevin Garnett, KG, not Kyle Guess. That'd be some basketball commercial. The other guy in Tenacious D. Um,
went really well. Great guy. So nice. Had a really good conversation with him at one point on set. Really good guy. So then, I'm in L.A. this past week, and I'm out with somebody at a restaurant doing a meeting. And who should walk in but Kevin Garnett? Now, it was February that I was worked with this guy. I don't know if he remembers me. He meets 500 people a day. I say to the person I'm with, I was like, what should I do? Should I try to say hi? He sits a couple tables away. Walks past our table, doesn't acknowledge it. I think he saw me. I don't know. I said to the person I was with, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up, pretend to go to the bathroom, and when I walk back, I'll just go to the table, and I'll say, hi. And I said, you're 6 feet away. You can see all this go down. If this does not go well, this basically does not leave this restaurant. If you watch me eat it with this guy, this does not go past the two of us. So I get up, go to the boys' room, start walking back, go past the table. It's Kevin Garnett. He's sitting with two guys, clearly talking about work. And again, I worked with him on the thing. I had a great conversation with him. I had a great time working with him where he's hugging me. He's everything. This is great. But who knows? I don't know what. So I go past. I go, hey, KG, I just wanted to. He sees me and he goes, oh, S word. He goes, oh, bleep. And he doesn't sound like that. I'm making him sound like he's, the Kool-Aid man. He goes, oh, bleep. And he jumps up. He gives me this huge hug. And Mike, I'm telling you, this guy is my best friend now. I trust him more than I trust you. I'm closer with him than you at this point. And look, when this guy was a player, I rooted against this guy. I liked him when he was on the Timberwolves. But when he played for the Celtics, he drove me up the wall. He was on the Nets. Yes, he got traded to the Nets. That's why the Celtics are good now, is because of that trade. They fleeced the Nets to make that trade happen. That was when they had that new owner who was trying to make a big splash. So we needed like big names, and then the team went nowhere, and then they mortgaged their future for that. So, yeah, it was great. Couldn't have gone better. I'm still a little charged from it. It was such a nice thing. It's nice. It's nice if people remember you. Who's good here, Mike? Line one. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mark from Manhattan.
Mark from Manhattan. What's up tonight, Mark?
I had one for the topic,
which is celebrity encounters. What do you got?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Well, I was in an airport, and I'm not sure I remember which. I think it was in Cleveland. And in our gate waiting area, I was right next to Coach Bobby Knight.
Oh, good.
And I thought the right thing to do at the time was to look at him and say, hey, Coach. So that is what I did. And he glared at me in one of the most hostile ways I can describe. And then acted like I didn't exist.
Coach Bobby Knight, this
bully, this just this guy. He's the guy who's famous for, first of all, he always wore a dumb red sweater because that was the color of the, what team was it, Indiana?
Yeah, he was Indiana coach.
So he always wore a dumb red sweater, which just looked stupid to begin with. Like, what are you, in a barbershop quartet with that outfit, right? It's like, where are the other three guys? And he's the guy, he's this hot, he won once, he's basically a loser, right? Most overrated coach. Couldn't cut it within 100 miles of the NBA where he would coach adults, not children, who he could scream at and shove around. And he was famous. He'd scream and then he'd throw a chair on the court and everybody'd be like, oh, isn't that funny? It's like, no. And this guy is having a psychic break in front of all of us and we're cheering it on. Yeah. So you saw him.
Yeah. And you know, I know basketball a little bit. Yeah. I figured, look, here's a guy. Like him or not, he's pretty famous, and I thought he would at least acknowledge that I said hello to him. And he couldn't have appeared to be more disgusted.
Yeah, disgusted.
At my presence.
Yeah, disgusted. You know what I would have said to him if I was you? I would have said, oh, I'm so sorry. I guess I'm not an 18-year-old. You can't shove me around. Would have said to him, you're lucky I don't take you in that men's room and wrap your teeth down your throat. Right?
He probably would have tried to pick up a chair in the airport.
Would have been great. He would have thrown his back out because those chairs are bolted down. Right?
Yes, they are.
And then
we were seated near each other because we're in that gate area by the plane, and it was not that large for a waiting area.
Mm-hmm. What group were you? What group
were you? Having tried to talk to him in the first place.
What group were you?
You mean to board the plane?
Yeah, when you line up, what group were you?
Well, I am tall, so I splurged for extra leg room.
I tell you, that really, when you do that, it really is like being on vacation. That extra 2 inches of space. In a chair that most of the time does not recline, it really is like a slice of paradise to pay an extra $130 for a seat that gives you an extra 2 inches of space. And now I'm also responsible to get the rest of these dregs off the plane if anything goes wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I always agree to take on that responsibility, but under the circumstances, I'm not sure I'd be that handy at it.
Yeah. I know. When they're just like, so well, you'll do the thing, you'll help with the thing, I just go, yeah, sure, I'll help. Meanwhile.
Yeah, just let me put my headphones back in, please.
Yeah. I always say, you know what I always say? Yeah, I'll help, but you know what? I saw in the video, I can't take my bag with me. I'm taking my bag with me.
By the way, the benefit of those seats is you get to go in first, so you have room for your bags in the first place.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, they board you somewhere ahead of steerage.
Yeah.
So you have a shot at storing your bag without getting it crushed by somebody else.
Yeah, well, look. Personally, I want my bag above my own head. I don't want my bag six rows up. I don't know who's going through it. If I fall asleep.
Yeah, I think he actually sat behind me on the plane, as I recall.
Yeah. You know what you should have done? You go back to that back bathroom, right? And you go back up the aisle, you whack the back of his seat, right? You just whack the top part of the back, you send his head forward, right?
I could say that's for every player you ever whacked the back of the head.
Yeah, exactly. You say, oh, I guess that's a flagrant foul, huh, coach? What a bum. That guy's like a lifetime bum.
I don't know what he does now. Actually, his wife was with him. His wife seemed very pleasant.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's just a ball of sunshine, being with that nightmare all the time.
Well, by comparison, she probably comes across as a sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah. He could be sitting next to the Babadook, and it would be... You'd think the Babadook was a nicer person? Babadook a person? I don't know. All right, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jason from Northville, Michigan.
Jason from Michigan. What's up in Michigan tonight, Jason?
Well, not a lot, other than that I got one for the topic that I think you'll enjoy because it ends with Tommy Smothers in the back of a limo, whimpering, crying,
yeah, okay,
and cursing up a blue streak.
You know what?
Yes.
You're right. Let's hear it. Get to the good stuff.
Okay. Well, you know the large service organizations out there, things like Rotary and Lions Club and Kiwanis?
Sure.
My grandfather, after retirement, got really involved in Kiwanis, moved up the ranks, got into the international leadership, and they would hold these conventions every summer in, you know, a major U.S. city usually.
And what's going on in these things, like a sacrifice? What are they doing?
Well, you know, I mean, you've got your sacrifices, you've got your closed-door meetings, you've got your controlling the world kind of stuff, but
there's no
then...
Because I'll say this, look, I know what goes on in this Yale thing, and I got to say this. Every time I talk to John Hodgman, I'm gonna tread a little lightly now. I don't wind up strapped to some table,
right
in the middle of, he walks in with a goat mask on.
There's a robe, there's a goat mask, there's a skull ring, and then suddenly you're being examined. There's blood dripping into a chalice.
Yeah. Next thing I know, the next edition of Vacation Land's getting printed with my blood.
Right.
So go ahead.
Very special edition.
Yes.
But there would always be in the big convention center like a big entertainment night, and they would book entertainment. And most of these gentlemen and ladies are of a certain age and a certain entertainment ilk, so the acts that they booked kind of reflect that. So here I am going to these conventions at 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 years old, seeing very exciting things like Paul Anka and The Fifth Dimension and Rich Little, and none of it held much interest for me until when I was 12 years old in 1989, and we're in Orlando, and my grandfather is actually international president of Qantas International, and they book the Smothers Brothers.
Ah, here you go.
And I know just enough to kind of be interested, and yet I have no distinct memory of the show. I don't remember what they did on stage. I don't remember the bits. But after the show,
I could probably guess one bit you might recall is something where one of them said something about mom liking the other one better.
Yeah, there might have been 20 minutes on that.
Mom always liked you better. For people who don't know, first of all, because this show's not, I want the show to be, this is not some fossilized show right now. This is a cool show. We got young and old listening to this show. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I got kids who are just like, hey, get that new Death Grips MP3. I don't want you calling up. You're talking about Smothers Brothers. They start tuning out on their, right? On their podcatching app.
Right.
So Smothers Brothers were these two dudes who were brothers back in the 60s, and they did this folk act. One had a guitar, one played a stand-up bass, and they were funny for that time, but look, it did not age well, what they were doing.
Right.
And they had a...
They had their show. They sponsored and birthed a lot of night good writers.
I'm talking now. Let me set it up. What are you, the host of the best show now?
Sorry, Tom.
I don't remember that memo.
I overstepped my bounds.
I didn't get the memo that I wasn't the host anymore. Of course, look, it's great. You got a great story teed up. Your moment is going to come.
Thank you, sir.
Don't worry, buddy. Your moment to score is coming. Let me set the table. So they had a show, and it was a variety show, and then it It got canceled because they would do sketches about, like, Vietnam and stuff. And then CBS didn't want any part of it after a while. And then there was, like, a version of the show Laugh-In, which was, like, a cheap version of like a kind of like a weird edgeless version of it that kind of took over on a different network. So, but then these guys kept going on and on. They did their, like, their coffee house type act, and to where they did it for this guy who's on the phone right now.
Right. So they did the show, and because of who my grandfather was, we got to meet them backstage afterwards. It was like in the big, you know, convention center, like a loading dock.
What year are we talking about here? What year?
1989 at some giant convention center in Orlando.
1989, the Smothers. You're the brothers.
That was the opening act.
So it's Public Enemy and the Smothers Brothers.
The Smothers Brothers for a bunch of certain aged service people in Kiwanis, yes.
Okay, so go ahead now. So it's 1989.
So we're back in the loading docks, and their limo is waiting for them, and they shake hands all around, my grandparents, my parents, my aunts and uncles, that kind of thing.
This is after the show.
Yeah, this is after the show, and you can tell that, like, Dick is very impatient to leave, and he's kind of, you know, shaking hands really quick and not really saying much, and is kind of, you know, looking at Tommy and trying to, you know, move him over towards the limo, and Tommy spies my sister and I kind of hiding back there and not wanting to miss the opportunity to entertain. He pulls out, of course, a yo-yo and starts doing tricks.
First of all, I'm just
going to
say this.
For the 12-year-old and the 9-year-old.
I'm just going to say this. I was horrified. I was hoping you said a yo-yo.
That could have gone.
The headlines are going these days, I didn't know what you were going to say.
Right, right.
I was terrified for a second there.
So the yo-yo comes out, the tricks start going, and I don't know if it was just the 12-year-old and the 9-year-old not being impressed, or if it was just us not giving him the reaction he wanted.
Because it's a yo-yo. But,
yeah, well, he started, the tricks are escalating, and by this point, Dick is in the limo, muttering under his breath about wanting to get out of here. The door's open, he's kind of half in it, half out of it. And Tommy is spinning the yo-yo around, and it gets awfully close to my head. And I inadvertently stumble backwards and slam the car door on Dick Smothers' leg. He lets out a whimper. I mean, just like this frustrated whimper and yell, and starts swearing, saying words that... Oh, boy. Certainly there was a few of them that I had never heard before. And the whole room, you know, my grandparents, my parents, my aunts and uncles, it all goes very, very quiet. And Tommy Smothers looks at everybody, throws up his hand, says, "Show's over, folks." Pockets the yo-yo. They hop in the limo and drive off into the night.
I love it. That is a 5-star celebrity encounter.
Well, thank you. Not everything can be as good as the KG story, but...
Well, look, this is better. This is better. I didn't slam his leg in a door.
No. You got a nice hug, though, so that's excellent.
All right, buddy.
Well, thank you, Tom.
All right, enough's enough. Seriously, what are we doing here? Was this the end of Star Wars? I'm supposed to get this guy a medal at the end, right? The medal ceremony? And also, why didn't they give Chewbacca a medal at the end of that? Just think about that for a second. Talk about racism. This Chewbacca's out there breaking his back. He's making everything happen with this. He don't get no medal, right? Humans only? Does that medal say on it, humans only? He was in the trash compactor just like everybody else. Run through the Death Star shooting people just like everybody else. He's making everything happen just like everybody else. Comes time for a medal. Sorry, Chewbacca. Humans only. Sick.
sick, right, Mike? I know that haunts you. And he's wearing his little bandolier. Nah, well, the droids. Look, if you're gonna give everybody a medal. They just saved your bacon, all these, except for C-3PO. He didn't do anything. Don't give him a medal. Unbelievable. Get no medal for Chewbacca. Look at that one farmer, Luke Skywalker. He gets a medal. Farmer, right? See this Rube. You got no problem giving the Rube a medal. No Chewbacca. Yeah, I guess I forgot that part when the Millennium Falcon flew in and they shot Darth Vader's TIE fighter to clear the path. I forgot Chewbacca was somewhere else. Oh no, he was on the ship also. He's probably the one firing it. Unbelievable. Got to start an online petition. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
You're talking to Sean in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Sean in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Great city, Toronto.
Do you like Toronto, Tom?
I don't like Toronto. I love Toronto.
Oh, that's really appreciated. I'm not native to Toronto, so I've come to love it the same way you have.
Okay. How long have you been there?
I've been here for almost 5 years.
And do you like it?
I don't. I love it.
That's what I was going to say. And I know you got something very exciting. You got two exciting things coming up, huh? One is going to be the old...
One is Kawhi Leonard?
Well, you got three exciting things coming up. One is the old... Right? You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
Right?
The mayoral election?
No! Oh, that reminds me. But let me write this down.
You got to surprise me about my own city. That teach me about my own city, Tom. What
do
we
have coming up? Damien's Delight. Weed!
That's very exciting. Good plug.
You got Toronto. You got Kawhi Leonard coming up to play for the Toronto Raptors. Exciting. You got...
Except you want to know the awful thing?
What?
I'm actually from Southern Texas. I'm a lifelong Spurs fan.
So you'll like him even when you know how good he is then.
It's hard.
They're going to get better now.
Also, 10 minutes ago, the NBA just announced that it's going to allow players to wear whatever color shoes they want with no rules starting this year, which is
great.
Amazing.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you got your legal marijuana.
Oh, yeah, yes, we do have that.
You got your Kawhi Leonard's coming up to join.
We got a mayoral election coming up.
Hold on. And then the other thing you've got is something that I'm sure you're very excited about is coming to Toronto is America's first sex doll brothel.
That's right.
To Toronto.
With six multi...
Look, I don't want any details.
Bodied sex dolls.
I just saw the article. I was just like, people send me these things. I think they send them thinking like, hey, Michael, like this. Like, first of all, Mike's not a... What do you think Mike is? Mike's a normal guy. He's a man of letters. Right?
Right. And not like the 60s Burroughs kind of crowd letters.
No,
this
is a well-read guy. Hey, maybe Michael want to read this article about the brothel. No, I'm not even going to show it to him. You got
so let's recap for Toronto. I messed this up. So we got Damien's Delight. We got Kawhi.
All right.
Weed.
We got
a municipal election.
Hold on. Calm down.
Go ahead.
So, but this is what irks me now. I find out. There's some bum up there who's got a radio show called and he's like a political guy.
Yes, this was me contacting you. We talked about this a couple days ago.
You emailed me this.
So this guy,
yeah,
he's not just any political guy. He is the former chief of staff to the formerly alive crack-smoking mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford.
Yeah, and this guy's he's got a radio show that he calls what? Oh, the best show ever.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. on News Talk 1010 in Toronto.
The best show.
And do you want to know what's even scary? Do you want to know what the topic of his Sunday show is? It's a call-in show.
Celebrity Encounters?
Very close.
Well, did he ever
read you his...
Hold on.
Did
he ever do a show about being handcuffed running through the bayou? Which celebrity you'd want to be handcuffed to?
He did not yet. I don't think so. His Twitter account does not suggest.
But just imagine this. Just think about this. This guy does a show. He calls his thing, in 2018, he starts a show that he decides to call the best show ever.
Mark Toohey. This is his name.
Mark Toohey. Great. Thanks, Mark Toohey. Hurry, don't get enough respect. I got some political guy deliberately overlooking that there's a show called The Best Show. He just calls this the best show ever.
Not just any political guy, though, Tom. Remember, the guy who smoked crack.
Did he smoke crack or the...
No, his boss smoked crack.
His boss did, yes.
And his boss was also, if you may recall, famously on live television said that he has enough pussy to eat at home.
Get off my phone. He just says what he wants. Get out of here. What am I running here? What is this? Look, maybe that's how it runs on some of these other podcasts. We're trying to talk about celebrity encounters here. Right, Mike? What is this? Pat? Huh? Thoughts? We're just trying to talk about celebrity encounters. Nah, I don't want some guy calling, some toilet mouth calling up. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, Tony in Old Newbridge. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight, Tony?
Good. Loving the show. Fun as always. And I have to say, glad to have you back.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
You were in Canada, is that right?
I was. I was in Montreal, as I was starting to say to that guy who had to start doing foul language.
Yep.
I was in Montreal, yes.
Oui,
that's what they... Yes, that is how they say it.
French, yeah. How's the vibe up there? Do you ever feel like you're going to get kicked out or they don't want you there?
In Montreal?
Yes.
I like Montreal. I feel like Montreal, there's a level of where you go to a place and then they say, bonjour, and then I just go. I say in the flattest possible... Once they go, hello, and then they go, how can I help you?
And that's what you do. And you got to broadcast American. I go in there and I just go, hello.
So you go a little bigger with it than I do.
I sing it, and I do like a Broadway little arm motion too.
Okay.
Hello.
And then they know this guy speaks English.
They're like, this guy's a rube.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, it's an American.
Yeah, dumb it down. Here, you'll like this food,
yeah,
and they
yeah.
reach under the thing, and they pull up this moldy whatever.
Hot dog. Yeah.
Just what am I going to do? I don't know what else to order.
We should get the hot dog for this, for the American. Put the normal menu away and take out the child's menu. Would you like the Buzz Lightyear?
It's a hotted dog. Hey, speaking of serving food, I am a server at Del Meducci's Pizza Villa in New Old Bridge.
Okay.
It's a great place, right?
Yes.
You've eaten there.
I have.
I had a pretty cool celebrity encounter last night that I think will be of major interest to you.
So this is a brand new one.
Yes.
Last night. This is a fresh celebrity encounter.
Fresh stuff.
Okay. Let's hear it, Tony.
One of my customers last night?
Uh-huh.
None other than Albert Brooks.
No.
Yes.
That's a big one.
pretty wild, yeah. Right? He's got some sort of relative in the Twin Cities, and he heard that Del Matucci's was a place to go, and he came. He's super nice. And we talked for a little bit. And I just gushed about how much I love those first three films. And they're like my Bible. And though I am a lowly waiter, I feel like I do know what's funny. And he goes, okay, who do you think is funny right now? And I said how much I love The Best Show. I just totally,
really?
I pumped The Best Show to him.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, I felt like I took a chance. I thought he might know, maybe not. He didn't know, but I told him that I think you are just as funny as two of the best comics going right now, Patton Oswalt and Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Patton. I love Patton.
He's great, right?
Yeah. I mean, Joe Rogan is maybe not.
He's great, right?
Well, not a little different than what Patton does.
Oh, okay. I guess to each his own, right?
Yeah, Patton's thing is a little less kettlebell driven.
Rogan's.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Patton lifts kettlebells on stage.
Joe Rogan does what I guess they call neck building comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Just making that neck thick. Anyway, so hang on. So I also tell Albert Brooks that you write movies and you wrote for TV shows that were successful, and
mm-hmm.
and he got really excited.
Okay.
And he said he's looking for someone to bounce ideas off of. And maybe at some point he even co-write with.
Who?
Well, I hope this wasn't an overstep, okay?
Uh-huh, okay.
You know, we still have your phone number on file here from when you called looking for those wacky packages that you left behind when you were eating here one night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you.
I was so
hungry. I'm thinking of, well, I'll tell you. Mimi and Del still talk about how that was the most frantic, most upset they've ever heard a customer get in the 50 years they've been operating.
It was upsetting when I left, because I came in there so hungry.
Right.
That I was so focused on my food that I forgot the little paper bag I had with the wacky packages in it.
Right, right. But man, whew, that was scary. I think you scared the entire staff.
Well,
we could hear you.
Yeah, I came in. I came in very accusatory.
Right, you were pointing one of those big foam fingers.
It was kind of like, if I remember, I was just kind of like, and this is embarrassing. But if you don't own the embarrassing moments, I was like, you stole my wacky packages, and you stole them. I was like, I accused everybody at once
you
of
did.
Having stolen them.
Why would you think a 75-year-old man would steal them?
It didn't make sense. But I don't know how everyone could have stolen them at the same time. I was so upset about it. I was so excited about them, and then, it was bad. It was not my proudest moment.
We all have those moments, and I feel like you're going to have a moment really soon, and I wanted to give you a heads up that that moment might be coming really soon, and that moment will contain a call from Albert Brooks. I think it's like 99% certain he's going to call you.
Because you have my number. So you have my number.
I gave it to him, yeah.
That's so thrilling.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for you. I just know, knowing just what I know about you on the show, you're going to bowl him over. And as long as you don't mention, you're going to be great.
Wait, what was that? As long as I don't mention what? Now your phone got a little wonky there for a second.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was just saying that you're going to... But just don't bring that up, and I think you'll be fine.
Don't bring, again, your phone, right as you were saying what not to bring up, got weird.
Right. Well, you know, he seemed really into the idea of working with you. And I think, you know, you're going to score a home run. Just make sure you don't tell him that you... Other than that, I think it's just smooth sailing, right?
Oh, Tony, please. Make sure I don't say what. Your phone got weird again.
It broke up again? I don't get it. I was just saying that you should... Oh, and one thing you can't do. You can't mention his... Or he'll get so mad. I've heard he gets violent sometimes. I don't know if he was kidding or not, but you know, just I think just stay clear. And I think you're looking at a whole new career, man. Anyway, I hope you have a great night, Tom. Hey, goodbye,
Tony. Wait, I could not understand these things. And just as you're saying this, my phone is ringing right now. And it is that area code in Los Angeles that is for famous people. Tony, wait, you hung? Tony, I need to ask you what. Oh, I don't want to blow this. It's that area code. I'm not even allowed to say the area code because it's only famous people in LA have it. It's like an express lane. I'm letting it go to voicemail. I can't. Oh, Tony. Yeah, so LA. I had a good time. I had a good time in LA. Good time with KG. Oh, bleep. I'm telling you, Mike, he jumped up. This guy gives me the biggest hug. Fist bump and hug. Handshake, everything. He's, what are you doing? Bah, bah, bah. Look. I gotta say. And don't take this the wrong way, Mike. Now we know what it feels like when somebody's nice to you. Did he say my name? I said my name to him, and then he said it. I don't know if he remembered it, but as soon as he saw my face, he lit up. I'll take that. Like, this guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. This is one of the top 50 basketball players of all time. So I go to LA though, right? I always have a funny thing when I go to a place. I'm always interested in the music I hear if I put the radio on, when I get in the car. And look, I go and I ride in the, I fly in this thing, right? And this, first of all, these planes are, it's always amateur hour now on these planes. You think this is the first time everybody's flown? Everybody's bringing, they bring 400 pounds worth of luggage on board the plane. Every time you fly, oh yeah, the overhead compartment's already full. We're going to need to check bags. Yeah, it's because nobody puts anything through on the carousel. You go to the carousel, it's like a ghost town. Because nobody checked. Everybody's bringing everything on board the plane now. So I'm flying. Get out, get the rental car. And I always look for significance in the whatever I hear. I get in a rental car. What do I hear? What do I hear if I put the radio on? Because when I'm at home, I like to listen to. I listen to either on the car. I put the iPhone synced up with it, or I do an iPod hooked up, or whatever to get to listen to whatever I want to hear. And then, but when I'm driving around in a different city, a lot of times I like to just listen to the radio. Give you a feel for the city. So I listened to K-Rock the time I was in LA. But that's not the first song I hear. I'm tuning through the dial. And it was significant. First song. I've been doing a thing with Good and Poochie. You know, when you goof around with your dog, you sing songs to your dog.
I've been doing a thing, the Def Leppard song, Foolin', where I go right in my dog's face. I make like I'm playing guitar. And I go, bow on out, foolin'. Like, it's if I'm like jamming out in my dog's face. And she jumps up. First song I hear, Foolin'. Then I tuned around, found K-Rock, heard Weezer's version of Africa 750 times. Oh boy, that's bad. Because first of all, I'll say this. That original song, Africa, that song sucks. That's a generational gap thing right there. Like, people who don't have any context for that song will be like, oh, I like that song. People who lived through that song's the worst. Right, Mike? That song's terrible. But there's people, look, maybe it's a good thing. You heard it without context. Maybe it's the way I heard 60s songs and people be like, that's terrible. Like, people older than me. I'd be like, yeah, I like the Lemon Pipers, Green Tambourine. Like, that's terrible. But Toto, Africa, that song's the worst. Now it's back. This kind of like completely full. Yeah, Weezer do a cover version of it. It's so flat. Oh, it's so bad. And it sounds exactly like it. Oh, it's true. And they would play it all the time. Yeah. It sounds a little worse than it somehow. But yeah, they're playing this thing nonstop. Sure, I heard plenty of Panic at the Disco. A lot of the Pride of New Jersey. They play on that station. What's it called again? What's that band? You know the band, Mike. No, not Fall Out Boy. They're from. They said they're from Newark, but they're really from like Short Hills. Come on, Mike. Think about it. Come on. My Chemical Romance. Play a ton of that. But man, that Weezer song, they love that. So then I get there. First thing I do, I go, my friend Jason, you know Jason. Walliner says, hey, let's go to an event at a promotional event for a puppet show for that pervert puppet movie that's out. Like, yeah, okay, let's go. Sounds great. Last movie I ever want to see. And I've heard reports about this movie, too. I heard in a report, it's very upsetting. I heard the Wally Wacky Man, the I thought was a seemingly upright puppet and a friend of the show. Apparently he's in that movie. And it's a pretty shocking scene. I didn't see it. I might be wrong. This is what I'm hearing. If it's true, I will be very disappointed. If what I heard he does in the movie happens, I almost might not even be able to look him in his googly eyes ever again. But we go to this thing. It's like a promotional event that clearly costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Somehow Jason gets tickets to this thing. We go and we wait online for 45 minutes. And then it's like, go down the stair. First of all, super hot there. There's no air conditioning. Great idea. No air conditioning in August. Welcome to the Ink Hole. That's what it's called. Some tattoo parlor. Go down these stairs and there's like a puppet behind the thing. And I'm like, if I told you I'm going to an event to promote this puppet movie, how many puppets do you think appeared at this thing?
or would you expect to appear at it? I know it's a leading question. No, not none. No, if I told you, hey, come to this event to promote this puppet movie, it's a crazy event. It's puppet. It's like 50. Okay. That's a fair number. It was 4. And I really think that a couple people were working the puppets, were running back and forth. I think they probably had 2 people working puppets. And they're making them run across, run by under the table and work the puppets again. And, so I go, so we go and it's a puppet, first puppet's a tattoo parlor. Probably he's like, hey, I'm a puppet. I hope nobody, I hope you guys aren't going to kill me. I'm a puppet. People are killing puppets. Like, clearly that's the plot of this movie. Somebody's killing puppets. And this movie bombed, by the way, this puppet movie. Then we go into the thing. He's like, you guys are going to go to the club. And we go in, and then it's like you go down a couple hallways, and then suddenly we go in, and then you go in, and there's like a bouncer guy, and he's like, hey, welcome to the puppet, the ink hole, the hangout. And look, if they would have told me this thing was going to be dumb burlesque stuff with the occasional puppet, I might have sat that one out. Go get a drink, because you get drink tickets. You go get a drink. It's the worst drink I ever had in my life. I took one sip of it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw up if I drink this. Then there's like a singer, and then a guy doing dirty songs with the guitar, and it's then a puppet sings on top of a piano. Then there's another, it's like every 5 minutes a puppet pops up. Then they're like, hey, you want to go see the peep shows or whatever? We go down a hallway. There's like a puppets on a stripper pole that are like strapped to the thing, and they're just moving. There's nobody operating these things. They just turn the switch on, and they're spinning these things around. It's like, this is the most low-rent thing I've ever seen. Then it's just like, this movie's not going to be good even by the standard of other people. Like, I'm out on this movie. The second I saw it was like puppets doing filthy stuff. It's not my where I like to live. But for other people, I'm like, no, this is for nobody, this movie. It's like a low rent affair, these puppets. And then naturally, what do you think happens to me at this thing, Mike? Tom? Yeah, hey. I like the show. Why are you here? The adult puppet theater. Then, 15 minutes later, Tom? Well, what am I... I go everywhere. I'm out and about all over the place. Nobody ever comes within 100 miles of knowing who I am. I go to this dirty puppet thing. 2 listeners are there. Very nice people. Had great conversation. But not where I want to be seen. The filthy puppet show. And look, I'm saying if this Wally Wacky Man thing's true, he's banned from the show. I hope he's not in this actual movie. I hope it was like a weird look-alike. Hope it's like the way Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott look alike. Or people confuse Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman. Hope it's one of those. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Brian from Rochester, formerly Brian from Buffalo. Welcome back.
Thank you, Brian. What's up tonight?
I thought I'd chime in with a topic about the time that I met Roger Waters.
The time you met Roger Waters. I want to hear this.
Okay.
What year? What was the year, Brian?
It was actually about a year ago. About a year ago today. He was on the Us Plus Them tour. And it was touch and go because there was a lot of autographs, professional autograph seekers. And whenever there was a line of like over 100 people, he would refuse to sign albums and stuff.
Yeah, because it seems like it's seems like he's just signing stuff that's going to pop up on eBay.
Yeah. I'm just a pure fan. I've loved him for like 30 years.
You're not a professional.
So I grabbed my LP of Animals.
But you're not a professional autograph seeker.
No. I have a few, but this is the most important to me.
Okay.
And, so I got my copy of Animals, the LP version, stood in line, waited in line, all of a sudden the police caravan comes up, and then this black SUV comes up, and its bodyguard steps out and tells everyone, "All right, y'all got to stand in line. You got to stand in line to the right of us. You can hand the item to me, and I will hand it to him. You specify whether you want it signed in silver or gold, and we'll hand it back." And I finally get there, and the guy checks it, makes sure it's not a hand grenade or a copy of the Division Bell. And then I got the nerve to ask Roger Waters a question that I've been wondering for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I out with it. I asked.
What was the question?
The question was, when you do that scream and careful with that axe, Eugene, do you breathe in or do you breathe out?
I'm going to say this. First of all, that is a fantastic question. I'm serious. That is legitimately a great question.
Thank you.
And it's not a question he's been asked a million times before.
I've never seen an answer for it. That's why I felt I had to ask it.
Because this song, for people who don't know, this is a song where he does that.
Yeah.
Scream on. And that was me breathing in when I did that.
So
you ask him the question. What's his response?
And then time freezes. And he's got my copy of Animals. And he's working on signing it. And he just kind of gives that grimace. Every picture you see of him, he's grimacing, I think. And he just says, "In." I just walked away happy that I got my like one of life's greatest questions answered.
So he gave you literally two letters of an answer.
Yes.
He gave you a one word answer, but that word was just about as short as a word can be.
I was happy that I got the answer, but
You asked a great question, and he gave you a fair answer. Look, he didn't expound on it. Would have been nice if he explained a little more, but that's still pretty good.
Thanks. And now the world can know.
And now you've got this copy. Yeah, first of all, now you just taught everybody. You just put the answer out there.
Yeah.
Hey. And you've got a copy of Animals signed by Roger Waters.
Yeah, I'm going to get it framed as soon as I can afford it, yes.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's well played, Brian.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, you have a great evening.
You too.
Nice guy. See? We get good calls here sometimes. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. I have a story about, this is Alex in Oklahoma City.
Alex in Oklahoma City. What's up in Oklahoma City tonight, Alex?
Not much. They're doing election coverage, but I'm not watching it. I'm busy.
You're busy listening to the best show.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me more.
So I one time got shanghaied into going on an adventure with the guy who did the album art for Battle of Los Angeles by Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
I was like 20. He came into the restaurant where I worked. And I don't remember how we got to talking, but he invited me to, like, hang out with him that evening because I told him I was a comedian, even though I'd only done two open mics.
What is the artist's name? What is the deal with that?
It's Joey Krebs.
Joey Krebs.
He's like a street artist graffiti guy. He specializes primarily in silhouettes.
Because that's like the cover of that album is like a silhouette, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so he like asked me to hang out with him, and I was like, oh, I'm busy. And he was like, oh, you should at least check out my art. And we exchange information. And that night he calls me to ask me if I checked out his art. And so I had to pretend that I liked it.
And you really don't like it?
And with the, one of the videos was just of him dressed like Abraham Lincoln, sitting in a picture frame, yelling, you don't know what art is, at the camera for like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's a little, yeah, that's a little, that might not be my speed.
Yeah, it was a little much for me at the time.
Yeah.
So I somehow agree to meet him for lunch the next day. He gives me this address. I go there the next day, and it's at a Motel 6 by the airport.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, fine. I go up, and he throws his luggage in my car because apparently I'm driving him to the airport.
And he didn't tell you that until you got there?
Right.
Well, that's, you know what you should have said to him? Bleep you, I won't do what you tell me. Right? He's like, hey, man, take me to the airport. You should have said, bleep you, I won't do what you tell me.
You're not going to believe this. That is how his voice sounds.
Okay. Well, look, did you drive him to the airport?
Eventually. First, I took him to, like, a restaurant, and then I took... Oklahoma City bombing memorial.
You really drew a huge line on the guy. You took him to a restaurant first.
Well, because he was like, do you want to go get something to eat? I got 2 hours till my flight. I was like, yeah, all right.
2 hours. First of all, what weirdo starts luxuriating with 2 hours to go before his flight?
I have no idea.
So you're telling me the guy who did the cover of the Rage Against the Machine albums, also the kind of guy who walks onto the plane. He's the last guy on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not nuts about that.
No. Well, he's a small guy. He'll fit anywhere. He was wearing one of those, like, Russian fur hats.
I don't care if he's 16 feet tall or whatever. If he's the last one on the, if he's holding the flight up, I care about that.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy who goes on the plane. He's looking. All the overhead storage bins are closed, and he starts opening them, looking as if he expects there to be some magic spell has happened, and that there's an empty one. If they're all closed, if they're closed, they're full. Is this the first time you fly? What are you, one of the Wright brothers? Is this the first time you're flying? Did he at least autograph your copy of The Battle of Los Angeles? What? I lost you there for a second.
So we went to the Oklahoma City bombing memorial, a very solemn place, yeah. And he was walking around like, oh, this is great. Wow, who designed this? This is awesome. He's taking pictures.
Yeah, it's a place where hundreds of people were killed. And he's looking at it like he's set designing a movie,
right? He's like admiring exhibits of like kids' shoes or whatever.
I'm getting close to taking my Rage Against the Machine poster down of that album.
Wow, the album's good. They didn't know this guy was going to turn into a lunatic.
I might take the poster. I look at that poster every day, and I'm just like, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa, Maria. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. You changed it for me now, buddy.
There's a worst part.
What's that? What's the worst?
At the very end, there's like a guest book that you sign.
Don't you tell me you're the e-cigs for legs guy.
I promise I'm not.
If I find out you're, I'll give you a, you're going to get a spanking.
The longest con in the world.
Yeah. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, though. The way it's going these days. So go ahead. What's the worst part?
So we go to the, the guest book, mm-hmm. and he asks me if I have a pen, and I do. I have, like, a distinctive purple pen. I was a host at a restaurant at the time.
Okay, well, he draws
And so I sign my name, my phone number, write a little thing, and I give him the pen, and he takes up, like, 5 to 8 lines drawing a silhouette of a guy in the guest book of the Oklahoma City bombing memorial.
I knew you were going to say he drew a picture in the thing. He couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Couldn't help it.
Yeah, he had to. And inside the thing, he wrote, "Honor is dead."
And I wanted to say this. First of all, allegedly this happened. I don't know if you, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're some kind of loon out there with this. You're trying to even the score on this guy. I don't know what your deal is.
Yeah, it's possible I did make this up and that I am the E6 for Legs guy.
I don't know. I need to just, I don't want the actual guy coming spray painting a silhouette on the side of my house. Cause he was misrepresented on the show. I don't want that to happen.
Do you think that would raise or lower the property value of your house?
I wouldn't find out. I'd start a power washing the thing off within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm going to take it to an auction house and find out?
Get an appraiser.
Yeah. What do you think? This is Basquiat or the doorways? People selling a Basquiat doorway? That's a little different. Basquiat comes over, paints on a door. I'm taking that door down. I'll pop another door up. But the guy comes and does the Rage Against the Machine artwork on the side of the house. I'm not. What am I doing with that? What am I going to do? Our next item for auction was done by, what's his name again?
Joey Krebs.
Our next item for auction is done by Joey Krebs, from the third Rage Against the Machine album. It's the artwork from Battle of Los Angeles, painted on the side of this house, which was removed. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. No,
yeah.
No. Not happening. It's not Mm-mm. happening, buddy. Well, ugh. I say to you, thank you for the call.
Of course. Thank you.
You have a great
day. Bye-bye. You too.
You do what they told you.
drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Who's good here, Mike?
Who in it now?
Ah! That was so loud. Right in my ears. Best show, hi. Hello, hi.
Hello, this is Jesse in Toronto.
Jesse in Toronto. What's up, Jesse?
I'm not too much. I finishing a pizza. I think I burned my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, that Toronto pizza, right? Best in the world.
It was a frozen pizza.
What kind of frozen pizza you get there? Tombstone?
I had a pepperoni, thin crust pepperoni from President's Choice, we call it.
President's Choice?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either.
Really? The president is choosing
a frozen
pizza? The only way that would happen is if your dog was named President, right? It's like that old joke. The old joke where they go, this meal is fit for a king. Come here, king.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did food show up, Mike? What do you order? Oh, my God. What are you, opening up a buffet? Stromboli's, meatball sub. I tell you, Dudio misses one show. These guys go to town. That's fancy. Fancy living. So what's up, my friend?
Well, I've got one for the topic.
I was in Montreal last week.
You love Toronto. I love Montreal.
I went from Montreal. Los Angeles to Montreal. Work. Taking me all over the place.
Great. Well, you know, you work to live.
It's a great city.
Well, it's a lovely city.
Right?
I've never been to Europe, so it's the closest I've ever felt to, like, hanging out in a European patio, having a croissant.
Yeah, you know, they have those other places, too, you know.
They do.
You just say a croissant. You're having a croissant. It's like, you can get that at, they have those at your Tim Hortons as well as the ones in Montreal.
That is true, but it's a President's Choice style.
Ah, there you go. You're right. Yeah, I was there. I like it there a lot. Yeah, it's a nice city. I drove up. I got confused driving over the bridge, like trying to get into Montreal.
Yeah.
I got confused and I got lost and I had to loop over on the bridge a second time, right? I'm just like, what am I going to do? I had to go to the boys' room, right? And I'm just like, what am I going to do? Be stuck all over? I'm going to have to pull over and find a place to go to the outdoor toity, right? The can, right? Nature's can.
Yeah.
I'm like, what, am I going to get pulled over? Ugly American? Here we go. Of course, the American with the car, we're going to ask you to leave the country. So, but thankfully,
they pull you over on their bicycle.
I found the hotel in time, and you know what happened to me when I was there? I was walking down the street, and there was a guy asking for money, and he was asking for money, and I said to him, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything. I'm sorry." He was like soliciting people and nobody was giving him the time of day. And I said to him, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything."
Sure.
And then you know what he said to me? He said, That is not true that you do not have anything. You have class. You stopped to talk. You stopped to talk to me when no one else did. That is what you have. You have a nice day.
You just got the Francophonic treatment. You got the Montreal experience there. Yeah. They're lovely. The whole town's lovely.
Yeah, he said to me, I have class.
From top to bottom, they're lovely.
Yeah, he said, I have class. Yeah, it was nice. Nice.
That's a nice guy.
Nice guy. He's a guy. And look, I didn't have anything. I would have given him some money.
I believe you. Yeah.
And look, when I was leaving the country, I had to get gas. I was never so nervous when I was at the gas station trying to fill up. I'm trying to make sure I'm not putting diesel in my car. I'm just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, you're trying not to fill up in kilometers.
Yeah, I'm trying to fill up a French self-serve gas station. I'm like, what am I doing here? All I could picture was my car going, so.
It's scary. It's scary being in a place foreign, a little bit foreign to you.
But I liked it. I like it there a lot. It's a great city.
And the weather was nice, right, this weekend, I think?
Weather was fantastic. At a point, it was like walking around like you were like you're being in stasis, where it's no different.
Yeah.
It's like a bath. It's like a bath, or you can't even tell when you're in or out of the bath. So go ahead with your – what do you want to say, my friend from Toronto?
All right. Well, in 2014, I potentially, maybe, like possibly, saved Garth Hudson's life of the band.
Okay.
All right.
House up, please. Let's hear
it. So I'm volunteering at the Jack Richardson Music Awards in London, Ontario, 2014.
Now, what are the Jack Richards Memorial? What is it?
Well, it's no Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's like, you know, it's. I think it was London's. I think Jack Richardson was a music producer. You'll have won a bunch of Junos. He produced the Guess Who. He produced a terrible, Alice in Chains and some good stuff, some bad stuff. But he's notable for London, Ontario, I think.
Okay. You know who else I saw when I was in Montreal? You know who else I saw? My friends in No Joy, the band No Joy.
So No Joy.
Yes.
Absolutely. I see, I haven't heard them, but I see a lot of No Joy stickers around town. I got to check them out, I guess.
You got to check them out. I saw Jasmine and I saw Garland. So go ahead. So you're at the award show.
So I'm at the award show and I'm volunteering as like a stage tech. So I'm one of the guys they got like taking mics on and off the stage. At this time I was trying to like get into sound and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, the night's going on, and Garth Hudson's going to be the last. He's accepting his Lifetime Achievement Award.
For what?
At the Jack Richardson's Music Award.
For the band? For what he did in the band?
For his work in the band.
Mm-hmm. Now, which guy was he in the band? Which one was he?
He's the organist. So he's the biggest guy, I think.
He's the guy who did all the crazy multi-instrumental kind of things.
Yeah. Like he was the musician, they're all musicians. He was classically trained.
Yeah, he's the heavy duty. Yeah. You know my favorite member of the band?
He's a real guy.
Who do you think my favorite members of the band are? I have two.
Bob Dylan.
He's not in the band.
I know.
Tighten it up.
I'm going to say Levon Helm just because that's the first name I can think of.
Yes, that's one of the two. And who's the other one?
And
you can do it.
Who's the other one?
I'll give you a hint.
I don't think I can.
And the doctor said,
I know the voice.
Cause of death. You know who that
I
is,
know
right?
The voice. The voice still, I grit my teeth, but I know the voice.
You know that voice.
What's his name?
Crazy Chester said to me. Right? You know who that is. Rick Danko.
They blew the chicken man up in Philly last night.
That's a different song. You know that, too. So go ahead with your dumb story. I'm half asleep.
All right.
I'm kidding. All right.
So Garth Hudson is accepting his Lifetime Achievement Award there. He's brought his wife, Maud Hudson. She's in a wheelchair. He's in a cane. He's like 76. I just did the math. So he's looking like leathery Santa Claus, like big, He's frail. He's got a gut, but he's frail. You know, like, you could probably hit his ribs, but then, like...
All right, don't talk about it. I don't want to hear it. Let's not hear your weird fantasies about beating up Garth Hudson. So you're at the thing. Well, he's coming out. He's
coming out.
Okay.
And I've been told, like, the producer grabs me and this other guy and tells us we're to help Maud and Garth get up on stage into position under this drum riser. So Garth, after his acceptance speech, he comes over and plays the piano. Maud sings. So I'm like, now, like, this is not what I signed up for. I'm sweating bullets, but I'm like, all right, I'm a volunteer, but you got me, like, handling Garth Hudson. He can't walk. Like, it's crazy. So the drum riser is about 5 feet off the ground, off the stage, and it's not looking in great shape. And on it is Garth's, like, baby grand piano. And so we slowly get Garth and Maud on the stage. And I'm told, like, you know, Maud's wheelchair might roll off the stage. Like, they've told me everything possible that could go wrong. So I'm freaking out. And, you know, we get Garth on, applause. And we get Maud in the position. And Garth accepts his award, like, very few words. And just, you know, barely. He almost says nothing. I mean, he's, you know, it's, like I said, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's 76 years old. He doesn't care to be here, probably. He probably wishes he was asleep. So, after he accepts his speech, more applause, he makes his way over to me where I'm waiting next to the stairs, hands me his cane. The other tech and I get him up slowly, stair by stair. We get to the drum riser. I stand up on it, and I give him an arm kind of to brace himself on so that he can lift himself the foot and a half up the stairs. So I turn around. Somehow Garth is still at the edge of the drum riser, and he doesn't have his cane in his hand. And the riser's, it's got his piano bench and a monitor and all this stuff. And I guess he bumped into something because he's like, I can see him, he's wavering, teetering on the edge of this riser. And you know, like, when Wile E. Coyote is waving his arms trying to, like, not fall off the cliff?
Uh-huh.
So,
so you go behind him? You run up behind him?
No, so I'm in front of him. I'm in front of him, and his back is to the curtain. So behind the curtain, it's just like producers who can't see anything. So if he falls, he's falling to this curtain. So I turn around, and this, like, all this happens so fast. But somebody in the crowd yells. I hear my producer yell. And, like, in slow motion, I grab him by the lapel of the leather jacket, kind of hard to stop him. It's like these sweaty hands. And I yanked it, like, I pulled him forward close to me. And the audience, like, gasps. But I don't think they gasp because they realize that he was about to fall. I think they gasp because it looks like I'm about to push him off the stage.
Yeah, like you're beating up this guy about to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. You're trying to
exactly.
Shorten the lifetime portion of the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Exactly, yeah. I'm about to bring it to a quick stop here. So they think I'm attacking him or something, but I grab him and he looks me dead in the eye and just smiles at me.
Yeah.
And, he sits down at his piano and the crowd is just like now murmuring and I'm like a leaf shaking. And he just leans over, he gets into his mic. Maud yells at him, "Do you have your in-ear microphone?"
First of all, this is the most Canadian story I've ever heard in my life.
Sure it is, yeah.
I was like, if this story, the only way this story could be more Canadian is if somehow there's some sort of maple element to it. If there's any some element of like some like if somehow he eats a maple glaze at the end of this. It's the only way this story could be more Canadian.
Yeah.
Right?
We went out for some maple glaze afterwards.
Yeah,
he just slaps
down a toonie and says, "Give me two maple glaze." And a coffee light and sweet.
Yeah.
Right?
So I didn't talk to him. I didn't, you know, he didn't acknowledge me afterwards. I didn't acknowledge him afterwards. I think we shared a moment and an encounter, if you will.
Yeah, but thanks to you, he's still here.
Well, at least his hip didn't have to be replaced that night in like an emergency room.
Look, I'm going
to
say
situation.
the word hero gets thrown around all too easily these days. But a guy like you, you saw a thing and you rose to the challenge and you saved Garth Hudson from falling backwards. So
I guess that is the long and short of it.
I could say I'm the one having the celebrity encounter tonight because I'm meeting the guy who saved Garth Hudson's life.
Me, oh my.
Well, you have a, that's well, a great so. Story thanks and you so. Have a great night. I'm being told to go to the hotline. I'm being told on the hotline there's a famous star on the hotline. To go to the hotline. I'm told it's comedian Marina Franklin is on the hotline. Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, thanks for having me.
Marina, you, for people who remember, Marina was in studio a few months ago, earlier this year. We had a lot of fun. And
yeah, we did have fun.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about that night was, where's the special, Marina? Where's the hour?
Where's the juice?
Right? Where is it?
Yes. Yeah, we had a great talk about that because you actually gave me good advice. You told me, don't wait.
This is off the air, I said this. Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
On, off, does I'm on the, it feels like it's all the same at this point. I don't even know if the things I say are into a microphone or not. But yeah, we talked about it. It's like, you've been at this. You're a stand-up. You're great at it. You've been doing it. You've paid your dues, and at what point you can't wait? You're gonna wait for them to call your name?
Yeah, sometimes you're just waiting. You're like, "What's my number coming?"
Yeah.
I'm number 53.
Yeah, but now, if I said to you, "Where's the special, Marina?" What would you say now?
Now I would say September 14th. September 14th at the Vic Theater in Chicago.
Wow, that's a great place too. The Vic Theater.
Have you been there?
I have been to the Vic Theater. That's a fantastic. That's really going to be fantastic.
Yes, and it's in my hometown because I'm from Chicago, so I'll be returning home.
So you'll be yes, it'll be triumphant then.
Like a homecoming.
Yes. The conquering hero returns.
Or like my wedding that never happened.
Or just didn't happen yet. How about that? We can.
Because, you know, the family will be there, all my old friends. They'll be looking at me like it's my day. I won't have cake, but I probably should.
Yes, at the end you should have a cake. At the end. So, but this is awesome. You're taping your special September 14th at the Vic Theater.
Yes, in Chicago.
That's so great. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's two shows, so, you know, if your wonderful friends, listeners want to go, they just go to marinafranklin.com and there's free tickets.
Yeah. Well, where is it again? Your phone. I could not hear that.
Oh, because I'm still performing. It's never over, Tom. It's never.
No, you're in, now you're in like, this is like Rocky mode now. You're like in training to get ready for this special.
Yeah, I'm like on, I just jumped off stage thinking about the next set. Because, yeah, an hour is a training. It's a different animal, it's a different beast.
Well,
never over.
And it's going to be great. So, but people, where do people find out your shows are at? Marina?
Oh, marinafranklin.com.
Marinafranklin.com.
My website.
That's the easiest thing in the world, to go to marinafranklin.com. And, but you're doing stuff to kind of warm up for that too? Like where can people see you in the ramp up to the big special also? Is that?
Well, so I have like a few shows left in New York City at the Fat Black Pussycat, is the lounge of the Comedy Cellar, where I'm working out my hour, actually tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 8:30 in New York. I'm working out the whole hour. And then also, and you know what? They could check me out on Conan. I just did another Conan O'Brien set.
Yeah, you were just on Conan.
Yeah, so they want to get a little snippet of what I do. They can go there. And, yeah, and then I'm also going to be at Bohemia, New York.
Bohemia. I don't know where
that
McGuire's.
Is. At McGuire's.
Okay.
Yeah.
But people can get all this at marinafranklin.com. But the big thing is the Vic Theater. If you're in Chicago, September 14th, this is the crowning achievement for our friend Marina Franklin and her big, you're taping the special.
I know, I'm doing it. Thank you, Tom.
So
I feel like, you know what, like in the credits, your name should be there.
Well, it probably will. It'll probably say Craft Services. And then my name will be there because I think I will be working the event. I'm going to make sure there's plenty of trail mix, plenty of the 2 ounce bottles of water or whatever they are. You know, those super tiny ones and cake. And then at the end, we'll have a giant cake for you. It'll be a wedding cake, but it'll be you on top of it, just holding a microphone.
Yes, because it is called Single Black Female, so that would be appropriate.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, this is going to be great, Marina. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you, Tom. It's so good to talk to you, too.
Yeah, and look, this is the ramp up. People go to marinafranklin.com. You find out that you see the dates. You see the dates before the special. You go watch the taping of the special. And then after it's over, when you're back and settled in New York, you come back in.
Yeah, it's always happening. There's, you know, after you tape the special, it's always live. It's always still live comedy, which is the best place to go see a comedian.
Yeah.
See them in the moment.
Without a doubt. And I'm very excited for what the next month holds for you, Marina.
Thank you, man.
All right.
I don't know why I went into that voice, but thank you.
That's all right. You're doing your...
That's my Midwest voice.
Don't tell me you're going to start adding characters at the last minute now. This is bad news. You might want to stick to the material you worked out already. Don't start doing a Robin Williams thing and start adding voices and things. Be like, she didn't do any of the jokes I thought she was going to do. She did all these
You have no idea how much I want us to sing sometimes. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should sing for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you just want to sing, and then they'll be like, yeah, we don't have publishing rights on Bohemian Rhapsody. We can't afford that. So
I do a long song about white men, so about a good 5-10 minutes. I feel like they need that right now, like a nice lullaby.
Okay. All right. Well, look, that's a portion of the show that I'll feel just at home then when you do that part. I feel like it's just for me then. Well,
yes.
Not just for me. There's plenty. You throw a rock, you hit some white dude out there. Look, Marina, I'm so happy you're doing this. I can't wait to see it, and we will have you in soon when you're back and post special.
Yes, I would love to come back.
Of course.
So, thank you, guys. You guys have a good night over there.
Awesome. Thank you. You take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That's nice, Marina. It's always nice to hear from Marina Franklin. Who's good here, Mike? 3. The food show up yet? Did, right? I could hear it in your voice. You're a little logy. That's post-stromboli. Post-meatball sub. Best show.
Hey.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Rachel.
Rachel, I like that. You're like, hey, let's get to it.
Hey.
Right?
Well, I had you on my headphones, and then I had to turn it off.
Don't worry. Very business-like. You're on the headphone. Like you're making deals, right?
I'm making deals. Wheeling and dealing.
Hold on. I got a radio thing to do right now. Hey.
Yeah.
How are you tonight, Rachel? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Nashville.
Nashville, another great city.
Yeah, great city. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Have we met before,
great.
Rachel?
We have some mutual friends. I don't believe we've ever met,
okay.
But I'm good friends with Coco and
Coco
and Co.
Yes, my friend Coco from the Etz, and also from Coco Hames herself.
That's right.
She put a great album out last year.
That's right. I took the photo on that album cover.
Wait, that's your picture on the cover?
There's the connection.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic. That's a great album cover.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
So, Rachel, do you ever go to Duke's?
Yes. Live like two blocks from there.
Did you ever Joey and Sarah, do you ever order the drink named after me on the drink?
I see it on the wall every time I go in. I haven't ordered it, but I see it. I have seen it.
It's the most flattering thing that's ever happened to me. It's literally just...
What is it? It's like a spritzer?
It's just seltzer water. That's all it
is.
It's just seltzer water. I've never been so touched in all my life.
Have you ordered it?
Of course I have. I walk in and it's like Fonzie. They get one ready for me.
That's awesome.
So
cool.
Let's hear. Do you have a celebrity encounter, Rachel?
I do. It's gently mortifying. It's a little bit of a story. But I used to work for a music magazine here in town, and I was assigned to go do a photo essay series, like shoot, of the country music collection. It's like his big personal music collection of Marty Stewart. And he has like this warehouse outside of town where he has amassed ephemera and, you know, all this, you know, records, Opry suits, all this stuff that he has just collected in his, you know, time as a country music star. And he's like such a weirdo.
Stewart, the legendary Marty Stewart.
Right. He's like the walking personification of classic country. So I'm hyping myself up to go do this photo shoot, and I'm going to meet him. It's like me and Marty at his big warehouse that he has of all this stuff. So I show up. I don't know how he's going to be. He's super friendly, and I feel like we're warming up to each other. He's laughing at my jokes. And he starts showing me around his collection, and he has, like, instruments and artwork and, you know, just all the stuff. So we go into this one, and it's, like, overwhelming in there, too. There's just so much stuff. So we go into this one area where it's just all these Opry suits of people that have worn these, you know, very decorative suits over the years. And so we're looking through those, and then he has this whole shelving unit of just cowboy boots. And so he has, like, Waylon Jennings boots, Johnny Cash boots, Lucky Frizzell, you know. And I've been with him for, like, 40 minutes. He's showing me some things. And I'm feeling comfortable, and I'm like, I think we're hitting it off. Maybe I can touch something.
Okay.
So I asked him, I was like, can I, like, look at some of these boots closer because they have crazy stitching, and it's, you know, they're neat to look at. And he's like, sure, go ahead. And so I'm going through looking at all the boots, and I come to this pair that is, they're like little white pair of boots. They have this Native American cheek disc kind of on the side. But the difference with these boots are that they're really worn out and like really scuffed up and like just trashed. And the other ones are immaculate. And so for some reason, I'm feeling bold, and I put my hands down in the boots, and I start doing kind of like the Benny and June diner thing where I'm like dancing with the boots in my hands, and I'm like, wow, somebody walked hard in these. These are like, look like they've been thrown in a fire. Like, what's going on with this? And I'm kind of mock stomping them on the shelf, and he touches my arm and says, those were the boots that Patsy Cline was wearing when her plane went down.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like,
well, that's intense. It's also,
that's it.
Look, I'm going to say this. I don't even want to know how you get those boots. I don't know.
Right.
That's weird.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's like questions you just don't want answers to.
Right, and they're just sitting on the shelf. I felt like I'm in this disarming moment. This is great. But then, you know, I decided to mock stomp the one pair of boots that probably I shouldn't have done.
You didn't know?
I didn't know, but also that it was the boots she was wearing when she, you know, died in her plane crash. Weird, Marty.
That's intense. Yeah, that's intense. I don't know. Boots.
I couldn't imagine.
How do you start a... That's a weird thing. You start a boot call. What's the first time you just go, hey, Willie Nelson, can I have your boots? I think I'm going to start collecting boots now.
Right.
It's one thing if the collection's ongoing and people know it's like, oh, yeah, he collects everyone's boots. That first pair of boots you need to go get to start a collection, that's the troubling one.
Yeah, and then how do you come across this one significant pair?
Yeah,
and they just kind of put it mixed between, like, two other pairs.
It's like, look, if I started collecting shoes or something, I said, hey, AP Mike, can I have your shoes? I'm collecting shoes now. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, I say to you, that was a great story, and that is a good celebrity encounter.
Thanks.
And keep it going down in Nash Vegas, right?
Come visit. Yep.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Let's play a record. I'm going to do that. I'm going to play a record. It's a great single. This Warm Soda single came out on Southpaw Records. It's a song called Renegade Mode by Warm Soda. We're back, best show back again here on a nice night here in August. Summer winding down, and we just heard from Warm Soda. Renegade Mode, the name of that song, and that came out on Southpaw Records, which I believe is a now defunct label. Am I correct in saying that? Great band, though, Warm Soda. In the background, Theme Weavers, LLC, with their song Green Room Blues, one of our many bed musics provided by them. Sad news out of San Francisco, Hemlock Tavern is going away. It's always a sad thing when good places go away. So, hopefully it can turn into a Google station or some dumb thing like that. It's a Google bus stop. Blah. I'm sorry to hear that, though. That's not good. And you can get those themes. The Theme Weavers themes are up. They have them for sale. I believe you check iTunes or wherever you get your music. They have a collection of instrumental stuff from the show, and it's great. Also, speaking of getting things, you're never going to believe this. For all the AP Mike fans out there, and there's so many of you, you keep checking apmike.bandcamp.com, and it's frustrating. When's the new thing come out, right? I'm going to say it's coming soon. I got a sneak peek at the next item. It's nice. This calendar's nice. It's AP Mike calendar. It's really cool. I'm telling you, Mike, you're in good shape with this one. People are going to like this. You and your crew, you did a great job on it.
quality. It's one thing we've come to expect at apmike.bandcamp.com. Quality. Hi, I'm AP Mike. Like, it would be one of those commercials, like, after some horrible scandal. Like, these Uber commercials that run now. Half of these commercials now on TV are just, like, apology commercials. We're sorry for what happened. And we're changing. Like, this Papa John commercial now. Did you see that, Mike? There was one that's, like, I think it's online. It's him. Yeah, the one where it's like, we're thankful for your anger and thankful for your rhetoric. Because look, this maniac Papa John, the actual Papa John, is a lunatic, this guy. He's got a screw loose. I think there was a friend of mine explained his philosophy on Papa John best, and I would never be able to come near his explanation. And he said it was, when he tried to capture the man, it went a little something like this.
One thing for Peyton, the first guy you kiss can't be Papa John, okay? And listen, this is a big moment. First of all, I have no idea why Papa John's on the field. Shame on the NFL for having him on the field. But if you're Peyton Manning, you have enough money, the first guy you kiss can't be Papa John, okay? It can't be! And if I see that as a commercial, I'll throw up. Enough. You make enough money. The first guy you kiss can't be Papa John after the game. And one thing.
Look. If you want to throw up, a very quick way to do that. Hey, you don't have to watch Papa John embrace Peyton Manning as they win the Super Bowl. Just eat some Papa John's pizza. That's the fastest way to throw up with anything Papa John related. Just order a slice. I guess to sit back, start chewing on one of those. It's like the only pizza that's like gamey somehow. Like it's very wilder. Like it's chemical tasting and gamey at the same time. Yeah, so this Papa John, he's like this lunatic, and he was on a conference call, and he started throwing the N-word around or something. I don't even know what it was. But they booted him from the company. Now, this idiot calls himself Papa John, and the company name that he created, this guy went so far out of his way to make sure everybody called him Papa John. John Schnatter was his name. And now he's called Papa John, and it's like, there's no, he doesn't work for Papa John's anymore. So he, so this company, Papa John, still has to exist, and this guy's still running around calling himself Papa John. Anybody who calls himself Papa John, it's turned out to be a disgrace to humanity. Papa John Phillips, that garbage bag, right? Bad guy. Creep. That's a 5-star creep, man. That dude's in hell right now. Wrote a couple of my favorite songs. One of my favorite songs is that one song, I can't remember the name of it. Boy, you know those favorite songs of yours that you aren't exactly sure the title of? You know how that goes, right? Boy, that's my favorite song. What's it called again? I'm not sure. No, I Saw Her Again, that song. That's one of my favorite songs. That don't mean you don't get a one-way ticket to hell, man. But, so Papa John, the company, did this commercial now where they're like, we heard you don't want to order, like, people are like, they like are showing people's like tweets and stuff like, I'd rather not eat racist pizza. Like, we heard you. We thank you for your anger. So it's like, What about the person who just like doesn't exactly know about this? They're like, what? This is a Papa John commercial? It's almost like it tells you something was wrong there. Like, I don't think we're going to order Papa John's tonight. Why? I don't know what's happening over there. It doesn't seem normal. Seems like something's up over there. What a junkie. Could you imagine? Can you imagine living in a place where that's the only pizza you can get, Papa John? You might as well, if you're in a neighborhood that don't have nothing other than Papa John, go hire a little kid to go make a fake pizza out of mud or something. Be just you wouldn't be too far off. Go get a kid to make you pizza. I made you a pizza. It's out of mud, and then I put grass on it as the cheese, and I put rocks as pepperoni. Yeah, you'd be better. At least it's from nature. At least, not these Papa John ingredients. One time I ordered a Papa John pizza. I went to take a bite of it. It bit me before I bit it. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, welcome to the Best Show.
How's it going? It's Connor from Manhattan.
Oh, I know this voice. This is not just a call. First of all, let me say, could you guys put the air conditioning on? What are we doing here? What are you running Bikram yoga out of this place? Don't be afraid to throw the air on, please. This is not just a guy named Connor. I recognize this voice. This is a comedian. This is a national act, as they say.
Tertiary.
Am I correct? This is Connor O'Malley, the comedian. Very talented young man. I saw you do stand up a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, you came. Philly. That was really nice. I drove down to Philly.
Yeah, it was great. It was so funny. I loved it. You were very funny.
Nothing's as good as that Joe Firestone, though, huh?
No, look, it was a 4-way tie for first. It's you, Joe Pera. Joe Firestone, Dan Licata.
Yep. That's us, the Blueberry Tour.
The Blueberry Tour, and you were going nuts. You were screaming on stage.
Yeah, white 200-pound man screaming. Finally.
There's one.
But yeah, finally we got one.
There's a guy. There's a dude yelling into a microphone. So what's up? This is one of my, first of all, you should come in the studio and hang out soon.
Sure, I'd love to.
Come on and hang out.
I'm just, I could hop on the, what's the train that gets you over there?
Tonight's
far.
Probably not a great night for this. Let's look at the calendar and not our watch. How about we'll do that?
I could be there in 30 minutes.
Let's look at the calendar and not our watch. I'll
rent a car.
That's fine. You don't have to rent a car. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Connor?
No reason. Just calling in. Was cleaning up the house. Thought I'd call. What's up.
So what's in the pipeline for you? You just finished, cause this is one of the architects of the Joe Pera show called Joe Pera Talks to You. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah, the show for slow turtles.
And it's
slow
so
turtle show.
That show, were you surprised at how excited people were by the show when it finally came out?
No, I don't care. Nobody knows. As far as I'm concerned, it never existed. It's over. You know how this goes. Excited? With people on the internet.
Yes,
I don't
you
look
do.
At anything. I don't look at comments. As far as I'm concerned, it never happened. It never should have happened.
I like it. This is the spirit.
We should all be working in factories.
Yeah. I'm with you on this. Look, it was a trick question.
That's the exact answer I wanted to hear. If you would have said, oh, I was so thrilled that people really were excited, I would have been just like, this guy's a phony.
It's a world of 7 billion people who don't care.
So, look, whatever you do, don't watch the show. If it crosses your path, go the other way.
I tell people you'd probably be better off just sitting at home for an hour trying to think of ways that you could stop, income inequality instead of watching the show. That'd be a better use of your time instead of watching the TV show.
You know what I say? I say if you're leaning, you could be cleaning. That's McDonald's talk.
Did you work at McDonald's?
I did not. I've eaten at a few, though. And I heard them say that to someone.
I've been told that at the ice cream shop job.
If you're leaning, you could be cleaning.
If you're leaning, you got time to clean.
Yeah. I got yelled at. I worked at a diner when I was I started when I was 13. That's right. Working at a diner. That's right. 13. And I got yelled at the owner. I had to you ever go to a diner and they have the thing with the big metal thing that they have milk in?
Yeah,
And they lift up a little handle and the milk comes out of a little tube. But the way that works is there's a huge box that you carry out of the cooler that has a little hose off of it. And you're supposed to take the huge box, put it into the thing, thread the tube through, and then cut it with a steak knife. And I started cutting this thing. It was literally like a Jerry Lewis thing. I had milk going all over. And it wasn't that much milk going. It was some though. This guy came out, he started screaming at me. This was like a Saturday in a diner where there's people where there's table for four. That'd be 45 minutes. That's great. Only 45 minutes. So it's wall to wall people. Every inch has a person in, and they're watching the comedy routine of the owner screaming at a 13-year-old as milk squirts all over the place. Low points.
But when you were 13, were you tall? Did you ever grow?
Oh, I was tall enough. Yeah, I was tall enough. I got it. Well, I was definitely, they knew I was 13. There's no mystery to that. I wasn't going there saying I'm 17 and I want the job. No, they knew they hired a 13-year-old for the job. And then, the owner, they would give me a hamburger. I could get I'm being specific when I say hamburger. I'm not just saying it was just I remember putting, I put fried onions on it. I asked one of the cooks to put can you put some of the fried onions on it? Guy came and started screaming at me for putting you got fried onions on the thing. What is this, 9 cents worth of fried onions? And you're gonna yell over it those are the days though. They made me who I am, Connor. They made
me. Oh yeah.
What's that, Mike? How long did I was there for? 2 years. Mike, I made it. That's the thing about me. I'll take it and I rise. I rise to the challenge. I'm not going to let this guy drive me out.
One time I worked at 1-800 Got Junk, moving junk, and trained a new guy. And on the first day, a heavy kitchen, 1950s tube steel kitchen chair dropped 2 stories on his head.
Oh, no.
And I ran up. He had covered his head up. I ran up and I was he was I'm fine, I'm fine. And I was let me see. And he takes his hands off his head and there's a quarter size hole and I can see his skull. And he's I'm fine, I'm fine. And I go, I can see your skull.
Oh.
And then he was a trainee and then they took him to the hospital and then they fired him.
Oh. Yeah. Got junk, more got brain damage.
Yeah, that It's a good company. I got stock in it.
So as a stock, look, as an employee, you were horrified by that. But as a as a stockholder, you were like, hey, this is, that's the name of the game. We got to keep those.
That's what makes me such a valuable shareholder is I know what the employees are sucking away from the company. And I'm like, we got to stop their profit sharing. Like, I know how to increase our profits through like oppressing them. Yeah.
So you show up at like a, at like an annual meeting in like, in like Reno, Nevada. And you're just like, I'd like to talk about, I know both sides of the street here when it comes to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Yeah, I'm their union buster.
Yeah. you have the polo shirt on that says 1-800-GOT-JUNK, but you're also stabbing all of them in the back. So what's going on with you for the rest of the year? What, are you just going to sit back and relax and bask in the glory of
join the Naval Reserves? serve my country, work on a submarine. I don't have anything going on. I'm hanging out. I had one for the topic.
This is the topic, celebrity encounters. What do you have?
One time we wrote a bit for Bill de Blasio on Late Night.
Uh-huh. Cause you worked on the Seth Meyers show.
Yeah, I got fired for my political views.
That's not true.
That is true.
It is?
Well, I said there's a G on our paychecks, there's a GS, and there was, 25% of our paychecks were going to GS. I said, where is this? Who's GS? And it says George Soros. Funneling all that money.
Uh-huh.
So George Soros.
It was a direct line, and you were like a little bit of a whistleblower there.
Yeah.
And did Seth walk you out of the building himself?
Personally, walked me out of the building.
Yeah.
And then he showed me $1,000 cash that he carries on him. And he says, you know how I got this? I'm a genius and you're stupid. And then he kicked me in my butt.
So, okay. So you have Bill de Blasio on the show.
And, we go backstage to go over the bit with him, and he asked me my name. And he said, I'm Connor. And he said, what's your last name? I said, O'Malley. And he goes, that's a seriously ethnic last name. And he just wanted to be like, that's all you care about, isn't it?
Look,
but he was the most, I couldn't believe, like, how he's a, like, he's like 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's huge.
Yeah.
Gigantic. He takes up so much space, and he's so just, like, unimpressive.
So he could...
It was the,
yeah, like, almost like he would be, like a cent, he would be like you'd get, like a Eric Montrose vibe from him. I don't know if you know who that is.
No, who's that?
He was a center for the Boston Celtics back, a Serge Zwicker vibe. I'm making these.
Yeah, he just was like, he was like a vice principal of like a high school.
Uh huh. That's it was not entirely inspiring.
No, and I just was like, because even a politician that like you hate when you meet them, like you remember Mancow?
Sure. Very popular.
I saw Mancow on the street once in Chicago, and it was like the most exciting day of my life, and I hated him.
Yeah, it is weird like that. If you see somebody famous and you get super excited that they exist, I guess, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, or you see them in the wild or something. It's like seeing like a deer or something like that.
Yeah, just be like, do you know who that was? That I remember I flew next to Dylan McDermott on a thing, I was in first class because they had to fly me first class for work. That was not they respected.
Our wonderful union, the Writers Guild, fought hard in the 30s with the union, with the auto workers, to make sure that when we write for award shows in LA, we get first class.
Yeah. This was not anybody saying like, well, we respect this guy so much, we gotta put him in first class. No, they would have had me in one of the dog cages if they could have.
The Haymarket riots. They were all about getting flown out first class.
That was the foundation of it.
Eight hour workday and first class flights.
So I sat next to him and I just like I don't know two things he was in, and I just said, "Hey, I'm just a big fan." Like I had to say something that like I thought you have to say to somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Like, because we were like sharing the thing, trying to get up, and at a point, I didn't say anything to him the whole flight until we were like landing, and I said something like. And now I see him in things, and I'm just like, oh, that's the guy that I said I'm a huge fan of where I'm not. And
I had that once. I saw Rollins on the street.
Well, I would have been excited about that.
And I was like 23, and I was so excited. And it was cold out, and he had a gigantic duffel bag on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just like... followed him for like half a block, and then I got up next to him.
Yeah.
And I said, "Excuse me, are you Henry Rollins?" And he just like super fast went, "Yes." And I just was like, "I'm a big fan." And he went, "Oh, thank you very much."
There you go.
And that was it.
That was it. You should have challenged him to an arm wrestling competition.
Yeah.
You should have said, "Meet me in that, let's go into that pret-a-manger and I'll arm wrestle you."
Try to find a New York Parks and Rec and see if he wants to, who can max out the most on squats.
Well, I'm going to say this, Connor. You're one of my favorites. You're the real deal. I've got your back. You're going to go the distance. That's all I'm saying.
Tom, back at you, plus 1,000.
All right. Well, you come in. We'll have you come in.
I'd love to, yeah.
You
please.
Take care, buddy. All right. Mike. Wait till you meet him, Mike. Mike, you're going to like it. He's going to scream in your face. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Matt in Los Angeles.
Matt in Los Angeles. What's up, Matt?
Hey, not much. Good to talk to you. I just had one for the topic.
Yo, what do you got?
I met Mark, well, I encountered Martin Short in, I guess, 1999 when I was a freshman in college, and he couldn't have been nicer, not to spoil it, but we were both kind of waiting in line for drinks at intermission at a theater performance in London, England. I was there with the college group, and I worked up the courage to say, "Are you Martin Short?" They're, "Yeah." And then I got a photo with him with one of those old disposable cameras you would buy real cheap, you know, that you could only use once. It was the camera and the roll of film all in once. But it kept jamming because I had to give it to someone nearby to take the photo. And it must have been 5 or 6 tries, and I was trying to coach this person through how to use this junk camera.
Yeah.
And then running back to kind of get my arm around him. And he was extremely patient.
He probably hated you, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely hated my guts.
You know he's a nice guy who's just like, why am I, in moments like that, he's probably, and this is like no offense to you, he's probably saying, why am I such a nice guy? Anybody else would have screamed in this guy's face.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He would have been, yeah, he was keeping his cool together, but I was intent on getting that photo, and I still have it. It's a treasured memento.
That's nice.
Awkward time.
I love it. That's a good one. All right, buddy.
Hey. Goodbye.
Good job. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Christopher from Portland.
Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you. I have one for the topic.
Do I know this, Christopher?
Yeah.
How? How do I know you?
I wrote the Clown Motel thing.
Ah, this is the guy, Chris Sabella. Right?
Ta-da. Yep.
X-Top.
Yeah.
And this guy.
He gave me a very nice pull quote recently.
Yeah, yeah, for your book, Crowded, which is coming soon to a comic book store near you. It's out!
Yeah, first issue is out.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is.
It's a good book.
It is. I agree.
Congratulations on getting that thing out.
Thanks. Yeah, it's hard to make stuff and then actually get it out there. Like, making it's half the battle.
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard. So what do you go? What's the person you met? What are you going to tell a Matt Fraction story?
No, it's a Jim Belushi story.
Okay, this now you got my attention.
Marijuana is legal here in Oregon. So I have a place that I go to shop that's right up the street from me. So I walk in one day and it's really crowded.
First of all, let me just say, first of all, what do you think I'm going to judge you if, because it was a, hey, that's illegal.
just putting it out there.
We're good. I hope you turned yourself business. In. What do you think I'm going to, what do you think I'm a narc?
No, it's important to the story because I'm not like meeting a dude in a parking lot.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But just know I'm cool, man.
I know you're cool.
I'm cool with you, weed. I'm cool with you, drug addicts.
So my dispensary was super busy, and I walk in, and they immediately they're like, go through this door and get at the end of the line. And there's never been a line like that. So I get at the end of the line, and somebody comes up, and he's like, are you here to see Jim Belushi? And I was like, no, I'm here to buy weed. So they're like, oh, okay, well, then come over here. And Jim Belushi is standing at the front counter signing things and also recommending strains of weed to people because he is apparently part owner of a pot farm.
Great. That's when you realize that, like, you actually can get to the point where you're just like, yeah, I think weed might be over now. I think we might be.
Yes.
This thing might not be cool anymore. Jim Belushi making piles of money on this now.
The moment I heard him say the word crippler is when I had that feeling.
Yeah. You're just like, yeah, maybe I'll see. I never checked out bath salt. What's that about now? Like, maybe I should try that. Because now you're gonna think about weed. You'll be there with your pot party. You and your friends, all with your jazz cigarettes, and you're sitting smoking your weed. And then you look and you look down at the bag, and it says Jim Belushi's autograph is on it.
I did buy some of his weed. But I didn't talk to him because there was too long of a line.
Mm-hmm.
But he caught me taking photos of it.
And you don't like him. That's the other reason you didn't talk to him.
Right. Yeah, I don't. But the funniest part was right as I was about to leave, this woman comes up to him, and she's like gushing over him. And he's like, this is great. And he pulls out his phone. He's like, I want you to say that to the camera. And he records her. And she says something like, Mr. Destiny is my favorite movie of all time.
Imagine.
And then she adds, in the 90s, I don't think she told him originally. I think she just said it was her favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. So she threw that in, and he was clearly a little disappointed, and then I left.
I mean, but what is that? It's your even if it's your favorite movie, it's like, what, have you seen four movies? This has given me an idea, though. Mike, can you come in for a second? Just for a second. It was not going to be a full length thing. To get ready to yeah. Don't get comfortable.
I'll be departing soon.
Yeah. What do you think about this, Mike? You know where New Jersey's going right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Soon, we're going to be like in New Jersey. It'll be like how it is for this guy Chris in Portland.
Yeah.
The weed's going to be legal, right?
Right, right.
What do you think about this? You throw your name on a kind of, right?
All
right. Some kind of like.
I got a name for it already.
What are you going to call it?
AP Mike's Mindbender. What do you think? You like that?
Good. Yes.
That's what it did to me.
AP Mike's mind bender.
Yeah.
So you're ready to go. You already have the. You already got the name
yeah,
lined
I got
up.
Got the
right.
name.
Hey, it's AP Mike's mind bender. Like you'll be in the weed show. You'll be in the dispensaries.
Yeah.
Meet AP Mike. AP Mike will be at the Red Bank dispenser. Like Red Bank, it has to be one of the first places to get a dispenser. Yeah. Meet AP Mike at the Red Bank dispensary, signing his bags of AP Mike's mind bender. What a great chapter of the show that'll be.
All right. I got to get Jeff T. Owens to work on the logo.
Sure. We'll get Jeff to work on it. Don't worry. Yeah. That's great. AP Mike's mind bender. Yeah. I think you might have to figure a couple things out before you... like, the idea, like it's still not legal in New Jersey yet.
Yeah.
Those are the details you might want to sort out before you start nailing the logo down.
Hey, I'm always just thinking of brand, you know, getting a brand out there.
AP Mike's mind.
Expanding
bender.
A brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is not, I'm going to say this right now. Don't look for this at apmike.bandcamp.com. There's nothing there it's not some kind of weird thing. If you order three calendars, he's not going to send you some AP Mike's mind bender. Uh-huh. It's just, that is a drug free zone.
Yeah.
apmike.bandcamp.com. All right, now get out. All right, Chris, that was a great call. Thank you, buddy.
Bye, Tom.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. It's Dave in Fort Lauderdale.
Dave in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, buddy?
Hey, just out here in a hot, rainy night, election night, singing to the frogs.
You're singing to the frogs? What's that now?
Well, just wandering around, and there are a lot of frogs, so I started singing to one. I think he enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it. Not going to challenge this. So what do you got? Yeah. Oh, I like it already. I look on Twitter already. Jeff T. Owens like, yeah, I'm in. He'll do the logo. 27 seconds ago. Great. AP Mike's mind bender is now off to the races. Oh, great. It'd be Mike and Jim Belushi. The weed moguls. All right. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I got one for the topic. In 92, I drove Gilbert Gottfried around Los Angeles.
You drove Gilbert Gottfried around Los Angeles in 1992. Were you a chauffeur?
I was in college, and it was an internship. I was in college for TV production, and I got this internship, the Amazing Live Sea Monkeys. I don't know if you remember that show. It was really bad. It's like a live action done by the Kyoto Brothers, the same guys who did Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
And no, like I don't.
Howie Mandel was the star, and he's dressed up like a mad scientist, and supposedly the man who invented sea monkeys. And I got to meet him, too, but that wasn't very interesting.
But you drove – what was it like driving Gilbert Gottfried around?
Well, they said he had a guest star position in the show, and they said someone needs to pick him up. And I was like, ooh, I'll do that. And so I picked him up, and I wasn't sure what he was going to be like at all. I didn't know if he's going to be like you see him on TV or what. So he just very kind of laid back and just kind of out of it. Like, are we in San Francisco or Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like, and then so I drove him around, showed him the studio. It was a Sunday, so nothing was going on. I took him to his hotel. And then the next day after the shoot, he comes up to me and he says, do you want to drive around again? So I drove him around. We ended up at the Comedy Store. And all these comedians were there that I knew, but I don't really know who they were.
Oh, this better not. You better not be E-Cigarettes for Legs guy. I'm telling you right now.
And then, no, this is Admiral Dave.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I'm the one who came up with the idea for Mike showing his celebrity appearances on selfie videos.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. I'm sorry. I did not know you were Admiral Dave.
That's right. I was demoted.
Yes. So. You and I'm going to reinstate you, though, for this call.
Okay. Thank you. Put my hat back on.
Well, that's exciting. So, you drove him around. You went to the Comedy Store, and then what happened there?
Well, we were sitting at a table. It was like, I wish I had been older. I was only like 22 or 23, so I didn't have much to say. And it was Bill Maher's at this table, a bunch of other comedians I recognized, but I didn't really know their names, but I saw them on TV and stuff. And Bill was telling some story about a threesome in Canada, allegedly. Yes. And he looks at me and says, "Lynn, who are you?" And I was basically just said, "Well, I'm just kind of driving Gilbert around." So it was exciting, but I would have been able to appreciate it more if I was a little older.
Yeah, well, that's the way life goes, my friend.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get that sweet spot where Kevin Garnett looks at you and goes, "Oh, bleep," and then gives you a big hug. You'll get there someday, though. You'll get there someday.
I don't really want a hug from Gilbert Gottfried, though.
I didn't say it would be Gilbert Gottfried. You'll get there someday. All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. It's Dan in Union County. How are you?
I'm good. Dan in Union County. I know this Dan, right?
Yep. Used to be in Kearney. No more.
That's right. What's going on tonight, Dan?
Oh, well, I got a couple for the topic. I got a bad one and I got a good one.
So I'm going to give you... Give me the bad one.
Oh, yeah. The bad one should go first. It's very sad, Tom. Long time ago now, I was in O'Hare Airport. Like over 20 years ago.
Okay.
And I got there very early. So you got to imagine that I had a lot of time to wander around. And sometimes you have those gates that don't really have any flights, you know, going in or out of them. So there's a lot of empty seats around.
Yeah.
And while I notice sitting by one of these gates behind, kind of in a place where you're not supposed to see them, was Mike Ditka, former coach of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, another one-hit wonder. how come all these tough guy coaches are all one-hit wonders like this? They screamed at their players, and then everybody tunes them out after a while.
Well, yeah, the way it is.
You see Mike Ditka there, right? And what happens? Did I lose you?
Oh, me. Okay, sorry. I thought you were talking to Mike. I apologize.
No, it's you.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so I see him. Now, there's all these other seats. I go in the row that he's in. Say, excuse me. Sit in the same row as him.
So you're sitting in the same row as him. You get on the plane, and you're in the same row.
No, not in the plane. I'm in the airport.
Oh, okay.
In the terminal.
That's right. Gotcha.
And no other people are anywhere near this scene, and I sit in his row, and after like 10 minutes of like staring at my newspaper, I turn to him and say, "Are you Mike Ditka?" And he looks at me and goes, "No." And he gets up. And he hobbles away like a man who's had a hip replacement who played tight end in the NFL.
Yeah.
Which is what he was.
Yeah.
And that was, like, lesson learned.
Yeah. You know what I would have said? If I was you, I would have said, "You sit back down and you talk to me or I'll knock your block off. You sit back, you bum." That's what I would have said. You one hit wonder. You sit back down. Right?
But he
walked away and you let him go.
Well, I felt like a dope.
Look, it happens. You know. You got away and now you'll never get that back.
Yep. He went crazy after that.
Yeah. All right. I didn't want to hear the good one. I just want the bad one.
Oh, no, the good one's special related, though.
What is it? You met Dave
Hill?
Okay,
very, very quickly. I help out Dave Hill. This is before I helped Dave Hill out.
Uh-huh.
But he and his friend Carl, they do shows, like comedy tours of the Met called Fancy Meeting You Here. Bridley Elliott was one of the comedians, she being the daughter of Chris Elliott.
Yeah.
So as I approach, I see Dave and Chris Elliott talking. I walk up, I say hi to Dave, I say hi to Chris. Dave very nicely introduces me to Chris Elliott. It was a very nice interaction. And then he says, "Chris," like I don't know who he is. I'm like, "Oh, I know who you are." And without a beat, missing a beat, I said, "You're the man who made the movie that was better produced than Godfather 3. To which he said, "Oh, you were there," which is referring back to the Bell House benefit that you did for Sandy.
That's right. $30,000 we raised that night. Another, I don't remember how much Hollywood Handbook made, in answer to the hurricane. I remember that night we raised $30,000 at the Bell House. So you said yes. You said that, and what did he say then? Because he did a comedy bit. Him and Adam Resnick did a very funny thing talking about Godfather 3 that night.
Yep. And in comparison, the Cabin Boy. And he said, oh, you were there that night. And I was like, yep. And it was one of those things where with Dave, it wasn't, you know, because Prince Elliott is one of my all-time heroes. And it was very nice to meet him in this sort of very human way without seeming like a complete maniac.
Yes. Well, that's a good one.
So there you go.
I still prefer the other one.
Well, me too. That's why I said it first.
Yes. All right, young man. You have a
great
day.
Thanks for everything, Tom.
Of course. Night. Final calls. Final three calls. Best show, best show, best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Lily from Austin.
Lori from Austin.
Lily.
I'm sorry?
Lily, like the flower.
Oh, Lily. I'm sorry. Lily from Austin. How are you tonight,
okay.
Lily?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's Austin?
It's hot.
Is it weird?
We're keeping it that way,
good.
Right?
I've heard that is very important to do down there.
Yeah, it's a big business campaign.
Like when you see someone roll in and they're wearing like a suit and you guys are just like, beat it.
No, it's like we don't want like Starbucks. So we're keeping it weird with all of our small local businesses.
Yes.
Right?
I gotcha. Look.
Yeah, it's like that. It's not really a style thing. Well, I don't know. Maybe for some people.
I like small businesses.
So I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
It's a little old. This is probably like 2010. My company would fly me to Chicago every June for this like trade show convention, and I'd stay at the Peninsula Hotel. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it's like a pretty fancy hotel.
Okay.
And they have like a pool hot tub situation in their spa area. It's indoors. And I was just having drinks with one of my old college buddies that I was catching up with. And from the hot tub, you can, like, see where the lap lanes are. And there's this guy. I don't know if you're a swimmer, but when people aren't swimmers and they're attempting to swim laps, it's actually sort of painful to watch because they're exerting so much energy and, like, not making any progress in the water.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's a good workout because they're exerting so much energy.
Yeah.
But, so there's this guy in there, and he gets out of the pool. He's, like, super pale, and he has those, like, goggle rings where you have, like, a really intense red outline when you take your goggles off.
I'm going to guess.
And he looks completely crazy.
I'm going to guess. You meant Napoleon Dynamite. You meant Napoleon Dynamite.
It was not Napoleon Dynamite. It gets better.
Okay.
And I was like, that guy's going to get in the hot tub with us. And my friend and I are both like, oh, please don't do it. Please don't do it. And because he's, like, a very large stature, very tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets in, he takes, like, the whole hot tub, and he's just like, hey. And we're like, no, that's not how this works. Like, we're two, like, babes in a hot tub. This isn't happening. And he just kept, like, listening to our conversation
mm-hmm.
and basically, like, attempting to sort of insert himself. And we're like, God, this is so painful. So we finally leave, and we, like, roll our eyes about it. And we don't really think much of it. Go to sleep. The next morning, I wake up and I'm at breakfast and I look over and at the next table, I see Conan O'Brien, like in the suit with his hair, like all done up. And it like hit me. I was like, oh no. I had to like text my friend. And I immediately was just like, that was Conan. And she was like, yep. Yep, it was. And I was like, how did I, like, this is someone I was like, had been watching on TV pretty constantly. He was, like, unrecognizably grotesque.
Oh, that's
but
not.
But I think it was
unrecognizably grotesque.
Because, like, he gets out of the water. His hair is not, like, how it usually is. It's, like, slicked back.
Okay.
He's, like, not, like, abnormally pale, probably because of this intense, weird swimming he'd been doing. And then I think it was mostly the goggles. Like, it was, like, his whole face looked crazy because he had these big red outlines. I mean, he looked scary. I remember just being like, please don't come up to me. Please don't come up to me. Please don't try to talk to me. And then he tried to talk to us. That's like the saddest part. I'm sure he was like, why do these young girls not want to talk to me? And then I felt so bad because, I mean, I just feel like I had been pretty rude. And then I was like, how many people am I that rude to on a regular basis that I don't feel bad about? But, yeah,
well,
I did feel
really
bad.
How about we downgrade it from unrecognizably grotesque to unrecognizable?
But you don't understand. It just wasn't his moment. I mean, I feel like Conan is a pretty attractive guy. So I'm not trying to diss him at all.
Oh, no. Who would take this
but
as...
In that moment...
You make him sound like it was like he was like an ant, like a monster.
But he was also kind of like huffing and puffing a little bit. Like imagine like some guy comes up and is in the hot tub with you being like... It was a little much in that moment.
I wouldn't know.
But like,
I go to the hot tub.
There was no question. The moment I saw him like dressed normally, I was just like, "Oh gosh, wow, believe it."
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't the stars did not line up?
So that was. I mean, outside of that encounter where I barely spoke to him, I generally have a no talking to celebrities rule. Here in Austin, it's not a big deal. We only get celebrities, like, for soft by, I guess. But I used to live in New York, and I just had a rule. I was like, if I don't know someone, I don't talk to them. I don't do it.
All right.
So I have no other celebrity encounters.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
They're not fitting the rule.
Yeah.
The hard rule of not talking to that you don't talk to famous people.
Well, I did call you tonight, so I guess I am. It feels like it's an okay situation. This is my first time calling in.
Well, you're nice to say it's not. I'm asking people to call, so you call. That's fine. And look, it was a great call. I hope I don't see you at a pool. You'd be like, this monster was at the pool. You should have seen. Then it turned out it was Tom from the radio. You should have seen this. This horrible troll slithering around the pool area. And then the next day, it was the guy on the radio.
Well, you know, it goes to show anyone can pull themselves together, right?
I wouldn't know. That's why I don't go to the pool. That's why I don't go to the pool. I go at 6 in the morning when there ain't nobody around. All right, well, look, this was a good call. And call again.
Fun.
It was your good first call. All right, Lily.
Bye.
Best show.
Hi.
Hi.
Jesse of Kingston.
Hold on, Jesse. 1 second. Mike, no more calls. This is it. Final three. Anybody else calls, you tell them they're out of, you tell them SOL. Right? What? Yeah, just don't answer it. Hi, Jesse. What's up?
Hey, so I have one for the topic. I've kind of been itching to tell you a little bit. I don't know if that makes it less enticing or not.
You do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. I'm here. You're here. Let's hear it.
All right. So I was in the men's room at Film Forum about 5 years ago.
This already... Already, I feel bad for everybody involved in this. And I think the worst part is, it's not just the men's room, it's the men's room at Film Forum.
it's a classy men's room.
Art Garfunkel? Let me see if I can guess. Art Garfunkel.
No.
Naked Cowboy.
No.
Alec Baldwin.
No.
Is it somebody who's been on the show before?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No, it's good.
Go ahead. I'll listen.
Okay. I promise it's good. Okay. So I'm washing my hands, and a guy comes out of the stall, and very loudly, like, you can hear in his voice that, like, he just wants everyone to hear what he's saying. He just looks at the paper towel dispenser on the wall, and he says, "Wow. Analog paper towels." And I just thought it was the weirdest thing I ever heard, but I kept washing my hands, and his voice sounded very familiar, like maybe like a middle-aged, you know, Jewish guy, like my relatives, you know. And it's just a voice, the kind of voice I heard growing up a lot. And he stands next to me at the sink, and he's washing his hands, like, okay, sure, yeah, black, curly, gray hair. But then I realized, like, there's something kind of familiar about him, and I look down, and I see that this, like, middle-aged guy is also wearing these, like, huge Nike moon boots with, like, the tongues out. And immediately I realized it was Lou Reed.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, it was the weirdest moment where I look over, I realize it's him, but I don't say anything, I don't move, but you could tell, I guess he could tell, that I registered that I knew who he was. And I think he may have, like, wet his hands, he may have been, but it didn't matter, like, how far into hand washing he was. It was just the second he realized that I knew who he was, he just bolted.
And what movie was he possibly seeing?
Amour by Michael Haneke.
Ah, the master.
Yeah.
Fun movies.
Yeah.
Fun movies from that brain. Right? Always a good
the
time.
The funnest.
Family friendly.
Family fair.
Yeah. So this is 5 years ago? Because he died 5 years ago. Was he not well?
Yeah, it was, I think it was in 2013. It was like spring of 2013.
Sure. So he was in his last, yeah. All right. Look, this is a great story. Somebody's telling me you're the e-cigs for legs guy, though, and I'm worried that I've
absolutely. I think I would have dropped it by now.
You would have said he walked out, and then I would have said, hey, this is how it would have gone if it was the e-cigs for legs. You said, hey, you're Lou Reed, right? And he would have said, yeah. And then I would have said, then I said to him, you have those moon boots on. I noticed you also have e-cigs for legs, is how it would have gone.
Right.
All right. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Sure.
Final call. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. This is Colette from Athens, Georgia.
Who now? What the what?
This is Colette from Athens, Georgia.
Colette from Athens, Georgia. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I thought you said it was Clip, and I was like, Clip?
No, it's not. That would have been a name to choose for myself when I was picking out of a hat.
Well, how are you tonight, Colette? What's going on in Athens?
I'm doing well. Just kind of still in the middle of unpacking into my new apartment. Getting used to having a house full of stuff again. But things are going pretty good.
Good. And how's the cat?
Dog. The dog, yeah. Winston, he's doing well. He's actually going to turn 7 in 2 weeks.
That's great. The reigning champion.
Yeah.
The reigning champion.
Well, there is a contender, like whoever won last year.
Well, the battle has not taken place yet, though, so...
Yeah,
it's not.
I guess I wasn't impressed.
You were not impressed. Look, that's fair. We'll see what happens in a few months. Dogcember.
That dog was a big dog, and Winston's a tiny dog. And Winston has he's a leader of the pack so far as barking stuff goes.
So you're saying it's not the size. What would that be? The size of the dog? I don't know what that's saying. You know that
it's not the size of the dog in the barking contest.
Exactly.
It's the size of the bark in the
dog. I don't
dog.
Know if it tracks. That's why I started. I tried to say, I was like, yeah, it doesn't apply. So what's going on? Do you have something for the topic, Colette?
I do. Like a while ago, God, maybe like 10 years ago at this point, I met Charlie Kaufman.
Charlie Kaufman, the film, the writer, the screenwriter,
mm-hmm.
who wrote Being John Malkovich and Adaptation and what else? Eternal Sunshine.
Schenectady, New York, or Synecdoche,
yeah.
Or something.
All those movies. So you met Charlie Kaufman.
I met Charlie Kaufman, and it didn't go super well for me. like, I met him in the context of I went to a film festival, specifically the Roger Ebert, like, Overlook Film Festival, I think is the full name of it.
Okay.
Because, like, at the time, like, Roger Ebert had, like, an internet fan club, and if you went, you could, like, have breakfast with him or whatever, and it was, like, cool because I had some kind of, like, weird ongoing correspondence with Roger Ebert, who was, like, a big hero of mine. So, like, I met him, and, like, it was great, and it was at some breakfast. And I was, like, looking around, and over, like, I didn't know anybody. Like, it was in Champaign, Illinois or whatever, and I was living in Ohio at the time and didn't know anybody else at the film festival. But I did recognize Charlie Kaufman, who was there because Schenectady, New York was going to be playing that night. And he was talking to somebody else, this, like, very tall, like, kind of, like, old cowboy-looking dude who I think, like, I forget, I think his name was, like, Tom Dark. He was, like, somebody else who was, like, vaguely in this, like, weird circle that existed. But he was talking to Tom Dark about movie musicals, specifically rock musicals, because the opening film the night before had been Pink Floyd's The Wall, which, like, you've seen that movie, right?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I saw it a long, long time ago. I don't even know if I liked it or not at this point. I don't know what I would think, like, of it now.
Yeah, it's, like, it's pretty good. But, like, I don't know. I kind of was like, I want to get in on this conversation, so I got to look, like, real natural. And, like, luckily it was, like, a continental breakfast, so there was just a table with, like, a bunch of, like, croissants and danishes and stuff. So I went over and I, like, you know, got a Danish and did, like, that, like, thing that you do when you want to interrupt, like, a conversation that's already, like, deep in the middle of, like, two people, where you, like, kind of inch up to them, almost like you're, like, trying to sneak into a building.
Yeah, the slow rocking back and forth where you gain 6 inches, you go back, and then you move a little closer, and then you kind of you go back on your heels, and then you go 6 inches close. Suddenly, it's just like, and you just look for that break in the conversation to where you can just add something.
Yeah, only I didn't look for the break, because as soon as I got within, like, earshot, I heard Charlie Kaufman say something that I thought was really, really dumb, which was that Pink Floyd's The Wall is the only good rock musical, the only one in, like, cinema history, which is definitely a debatable claim. Like, there's more than one, yeah. So there has to be at least two good movie musicals, right?
Yeah. Well, what would you say would be another one? What's another one that would count? What is it, Phantom of the Paradise?
Yeah, or, like, Hard Day's Night. Like,
sure.
This is where the story is, like, okay. Going, actually.
Okay. This is bad news already. Now, I will say, Colette, I have a knot in my stomach.
I know, I do too. Like, every time I tell this story, it's pretty embarrassing. But he's going on about how Pink Floyd's The Wall is, like, the only good rock musical, like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like, my brain can, like, come up with any number of like, movies that would fit this description. And, like, at this point, I went from being, like, oh, cool, like, I might get to talk to, like, somebody who's, like, one of my writing heroes at the time, to, like, just full-blown, like, inner fury about having heard this ridiculous claim.
You're watching the stock.
The movie.
You're watching Charlie Kaufman's stock go,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
in
exactly.
Your brain, it is in free fall now.
Yeah, yeah, because my brain immediately fixated on Purple Rain, and he, like, was talking about, like, the cinematic technique and all this other stuff, and, like, eventually, like, I'm just, you know, standing there awkwardly, and I decide, like, well, it's now or never. I gotta shoot my shot.
Here we go.
And I'm like, hey, like, sorry to interrupt this conversation or whatever, but what about Purple Rain? Like, Purple Rain's a good movie. That's a good rock musical. There's good music in that. It's a good movie. Oh. Like, Morris Day put the lady in a dumpster.
This is hurting me right now. I almost don't want to know. I almost want to hang up on you and never know what happened with this. But I'm going, I do want to know what happened with this. So you're like, hey, what about Purple Rain? And it's Charlie Kaufman talking to a cowboy.
about
the wall. Yeah, talking about Pink Floyd. Okay, so where what happens?
He ignores me for a while. Uh-huh. Like, he just straight up keeps talking about Pink Floyd's The Wall, and like someone out, like the cowboy dude is like, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing your movie, blah blah blah, like it'll be great to see it on the big screen, they don't play it out west or whatever. And I'm like still just trying to be all like, hey, like, dude, there's more than one good movie music, like rock musical, like Purple Rain is great, like the soundtrack album, like they performed it live, and like just like all these things, because like, I don't know, like Prince had to be defended from a claim that wasn't even being made about Prince. And I swear to God, Tom, this goes on for 7 minutes. It's like the longest 7 minutes of my life.
So now it's like a standoff where you're like, I'm like, he's pretending I'm not here.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride this out.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, it's so weird. Like, this is so clear in my memory because like the whole time he was like eating a bagel, like one of those like horrible like hotel bagels or whatever. And like, that's like, if you could like picture like the world's like most ridiculous like hourglass, like with the sand filtering down.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Kaufman like slowly eating this bagel was like how much time I had to like pitch Purple Rain as being equal, if not better, to The Wall.
Yeah. Those hard, kind of frozen, like small and like rubbery hotel bagels that don't slice correctly. And
yeah, that like Philadelphia cream cheese and like the little like thing, and it's like frozen solid practically. It doesn't spread on anything because the plastic knife doesn't work.
Yes, I.
And he's eating this, and I'm just going on and on and on, and like eventually, like he finishes the bagel, and he like calmly like puts the plate down on the table, and like without even looking at me, he says, "Purple Rain effing sucked," and leaves the room.
Well, that's... I will say this. It's not like you were like, I saw Tom Hanks at this table. And then I was like... And that's how you're like, you'll never believe how that ended. It's like, no, that's... I think you got what you would probably want from... Even if it's not, even if it's, maybe you got what you needed from a Charlie Kaufman thing, maybe not what you wanted, but it was, it's kind of what.
Oh, no, at the time it wasn't what I wanted. I have had a lot of drinks off of that story. Like, he gave me a gift.
Sometimes.
And, you know, like, I still love that movie. Like, I saw it that night and, like, cried during it, all the while being like, man, Charlie Kaufman really, like, really tore me down in four words.
But look at this. If you think about it this way, Colette, if Charlie Kaufman would have went, that's a good point, I got to check that out again, you would have forgotten that this story ever happened.
Oh, absolutely. Like, totally. That's, yeah.
Well, this is a great one.
The texture of my life would have changed.
Well, that's fantastic, Colette. Well, we... look, congratulations on the move and get settled, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, Tom. Right, have a good night.
Care. You too, bye. All right, this is the final one. Wait, did you screen this, Mike? No, they can't do. Sorry, we're done. Show's over. I don't know what to tell you. People keep calling. I love it. Look, I appreciate it. It means you care. It means you care about the show. You want to be a part of it. It means you care. Right, Mike? They care. You know? Sometimes in life, Mike and Pat, I know you guys know what caring is. And I'm going to say this, first of all, speaking of Pat Byrne, one of the funny. He's one of the guys who works here. He's extremely funny, and he did a show. I saw the show a couple months ago. It was fantastic, called Comic to Watch with Pat Byrne. And I know some of you were not there, but get this. Pat's doing the show again. Friday, September 7th, at the Brick Theater, 11 p.m. Featuring that. That's not Pat, which would be enough, by the way, because the show's great. Pat's great. Very funny. It's writing and film things he's been working on for a good while, and it's a really solid show from beginning to end. Josh Gondelman will be doing stand-up at the show, too. It's a great deal. It's like a two-for-one. It's like if you go to the grocery store and something is like you got a bottle of water in your cart and it's clear and you forgot that it's in there and nobody sees it, you wheel the cart out, you got a freebie. That's Josh Gondelman, a free bottle of water in entertainment terms on this bill. But yeah, Friday, September 7th, Comic to Watch with Pat Byrne at the Brick Theater, 11 p.m. And you could check Pat out on Twitter for more information. What is it, 1-800-PAT-BYRNE? And it's retweeted on The Best Show also, so please check that out. And you know what? That's what Pat's doing, and I'm glad Pat's going. Pat's doing what he wants. And that's Pat's dream. And he's doing what he dreamed. And look, life is hard. I'm sitting here, I got a guy like Dudio, he's just doing what he wants. Out and about, living his best life. Pat's doing his show on September 7th, that's what he wants to do. Got AP Mike's, got his calendar coming out soon. He'll be rolling in it. And then, let alone when AP Mike's Mindbender comes out. This guy becomes basically a drug lord. That'll be something else, and then I'll be sitting here doing the best show, watching my friends sail away. That'll be sad. That's a sad day when I see AP Mike look me in the face and say, Tom, I'm making piles of money with this calendar. And AP Mike's Mindbender. But then you know what AP Mike will say to me? He'll say, Tom, I'm going to be appearing at the dispensary in Cherry Hill. And I want you to come down and I want you to sit at the table next to me as I'm signing bags of AP Mike's Mindbender. And if anybody wants your signature too, they can get it and I'll give you a little taste of the money. And I'll say, AP Mike, I appreciate it. Because I was there in the beginning with you when you were just a lowly call screener, screening the calls. And now you're a full-fledged drug lord. And you're running things. And then Mike will go, hey, have you met Governor Murphy? This is my He's in on this with me. And then there'll be a pile of money, and AP Mike will have it. And he'll throw it at me, and he'll throw money in my face, and he'll laugh, watching me pick it up on the floor of the dispensary in Cherry Hill. And then Michael say, I signed enough of this stuff. Tell them no more signatures. I'm out of here. Tom, bring my car around. I'll run out. I'll go get his Tesla, drive it around, pull it up to the back entrance. Mike comes out holding a bag of huge duffel bag full of AP Mike's Mindbender and another bag full of cash. And then Michael say, I'm out of here. I did it. Tom, here's $5,000 for your trouble. Now get the bleep away from my Tesla. And then he'll drive off, and then he'll have a thing attached just to shoot fumes in my face, even though Teslas don't do that, just because he wants to see me eat his dust. And that's how it goes. and AP Mike will win again. And as he drives away in that Tesla, I'll hear one song blasting from the sound system, the state-of-the-art sound system, and that song will be none other than Xanadu. Best show back next week. Bye.